got a right knee problem. Jakari Henderson, our starting right corner, is out. Kobe Wilden is again out for his fourth week. And I believe Tavares Kennard is also out. So we are a little light. So it's a big night with everything in front of us here as we're moving forward. So can we take care of business in the next 2 weeks to set up a showdown week 9 against the Bloodhounds?
Well, some things to think about where this series is concerned. Of course, it took 63 years off between 1957 and 2020. Teams did not meet in those 63 years. It is a series that dates back to really the inception of football, at least the inception that I could document through the Hawkeye back to 1901. Burlington leads the series 24-10 with three ties. And again, like I said, resumed last season for the first time since 57. Now, Mount Pleasant has won four of the last six in the series after Burlington had won 11 in a row and 13 of 14. However, I think as we look back at the Washington series, I don't know, given that the last time the teams met was 1950, I don't think that streak holds a lot of water with today's ball players.
I believe we have new teams on the field, but you know what does stick? The Revenge Tour 2021. As we have talked throughout the season, there's some scores to settle with some teams who put the hurt on us last year, and the Mount Pleasant Panthers are one of those guys. Now, Coach Grecklin, I would tell you, got new guys, new team. But those guys who are still hanging around, those seniors and those juniors who played last year, they're still thinking about what happened last year on Maple Leaf Complex Field. And so, you know, this is a great opportunity to get to the things that you want to get to that you've talked about really since you were a little kid.
Well, and here's the other thing to think about. Last year's 26-point loss, 42-16 at the hands of the Panthers, the largest loss in the series for the Greyhounds. So they don't know that. I know that because I'm the stat guy. But 26 points, that's four scores. And it was a game that, as we have said many times, unfortunately, throughout our tenure together, it wasn't even that close. Mount Pleasant came out early, was able to do pretty much anything it wanted to do on the ground especially, and that opened a little bit of an air passing attack as the game went on. And it just was one of those seemingly typical Burlington games that once it started to go downhill, the snowball turned into a big avalanche that you so typically have seen.
Yeah, and, you know, the good thing for us is that was a 20-member senior team, and those guys are all gone. And so now it is a younger Mount Pleasant team that has found some struggles along the way, and we are in a realm where we have turned some things around. Two blips on the map, Oskaloosa last week. Really, you and I talked about that it was a much closer game than the score indicated because of the way we played defense. Our situation is we needed to find ways to uncork some of the offense, and we just missed in some situations moving the ball in the air and encounter. Bryant Williams continues to be Bryant Williams and get his yard. So how can we complement that tonight, and can we get out to a fast start the way Mount Pleasant did last year?
Well, Mount Pleasant has not started this year's district campaign all that well, I'd say, being outscored 98-7 in its first two games against Fort Madison and Iowa City Liberty. They are 1-5 coming in. They've lost to Fairfield, Washington, Keokuk, and then again Fort Madison and Iowa City Liberty. Their only win was at West Burlington Notre Dame back in week 4 by the score of 24-20. The Greyhounds, if you separate a 9-game season into thirds, they went 2-1. They went 2-1. Now as they enter the last third of the season, 2-1 is not going to get it done.
No, you're going to have to go undefeated, and I think we have a good chance in the next 2 weeks to get some things corrected and to improve on some things as we get settled in. Again, we've said this a lot for what should be a really big showdown here at Bracewell in 3 weeks.
And I will say, actually 2 weeks, John. Don't tell people
math
3 weeks.
Math is hard.
This week, the next week, then the week after. But it's 2 weeks
from tonight.
But essentially the playoffs start, the postseason starts for BHS because you cannot afford to have three losses. I have been wrong all season, though. I will say this. I thought there were 8 districts in Class 4A. There are actually only 6.
Right.
So the top 2 teams from each class, or from each district, I should say, will make the playoffs. They are assured. There's 12. Mm-hmm. Then there are 4 wild card teams, and those will be based on RPI. Now, that's not likely going to play into the favor of Burlington because Washington is a 3A school. Keokuk is a 3A school. Oskie's a 3A school. No, Oskie, I'm sorry, is a 4A school. Ottumwa is a 5A school, but a winless 5 or a one-win 5A school. So RPI is not in the Greyhounds' favor.
No.
If you're looking at one of the four at-large bids to get to the postseason, realistically, you've got to take care of your own business. And the thing is, it's funny to talk to Jim Krekel, and I give him flack about it all the time because we get paid to talk about it. But he takes a one-week-at-a-time approach, and I think he does that for two reasons. One, he doesn't want guys looking 3 weeks ahead. He knows they got to take care of business tonight or next week and the week after don't mean as much. And secondly, he says, and you'll hear it in the interview coming up here in a few minutes, he said, it just lets me live in the moment. I'm not looking so far ahead that I forget to enjoy today, whether it's practice or game night or whatever it is. It's been refreshing kind of getting to know him a little bit this year. A very positive guy, and I think that's really rubbed off, especially on this year's team, that I think nobody, probably except themselves, thought was going to do what they've done.
Well, what I think Jim does so well as a coach is that he does allow the kids to live in the moment and improve on where they're at today. He's so laid back, and he understands that you can't control tomorrow. You can't control next week. So the only thing you got is today, and so what are you going to do today? Enjoy the success that you have today and move forward, because then it's not such an issue that if things go wrong, and I don't want to even go this way thinking, but if there's a trip up along the way here in the next three games that we end up not getting that second place and hoping for the RPI at large bid, you know, that's too much pressure, and it really does not bode well for your performance. And I think that plays well with the kids that he has this year.
And we are forgetting, too, that Fort Madison very well could beat North Scott next week. We don't know. We are assuming that because North Scott's number one, they will play like number one next week and set up that week 9 showdown. It may not be as important, even if we win the next 2 weeks, but hey, let's dream and think week 9 is going to be a de facto playoff game. Well, Coach Krekel and I did sit down yesterday. We make it sound like tonight, but to pull the curtain back, it was actually done yesterday around the noon hour. So, hey, we're going to talk about 9.5 minutes worth of discussion between Jim Krekel and myself. As I always say, you could listen and John and I talk for the next 25 minutes, but you want to hear from Coach Krekel. So on the other side of this timeout, as the Queso's Mexican Bar and Grill pregame show rolls on, it'll be Coach Krekel and I talking about last week a little bit, and this week a lot more on KBUR and KBUR.com.
Discover new tastes, celebrate traditions, and make new ones at Queso's Mexican Bar and Grill. Queso's features fresh ingredients and distinct spices that will tantalize your taste buds. Their menu is a delicious fusion of Tex-Mex and traditional Mexican recipes, as well as signature handcrafted margaritas, all served with a smile. Explore new flavors or enjoy the traditional Mexican dishes you already love. Dine in or carry out, there's something for everyone at Queso's Mexican Bar and Grill in Burlington. Go Greyhounds!
At Bob Dodd's Insurance, they recognize the value of teamwork and believe that hard work pays off both in sports and in life. They wish all the athletes competing this season good luck and encourage you to put your all into practice today to achieve victory tomorrow. Trust in teamwork. Trust in tomorrow. Contact Bob Dodd's Insurance, your local Grinnell Mutual agent, at 319-392-8311 today for all your insurance needs. Trust in tomorrow is a registered trademark of Grinnell Mutual Reinsurance Company.
At Ryan Schmidt Flooring America, we are big fans of local sports, and we're proud of the athletes who have the courage and the drive to compete. We know success on the field or court takes great teamwork, trust, and dedication from all your teammates and coaches. We live by those same qualities here at Ryan Schmitz. From our team to yours, best wishes in the games to come. We'll be rooting for you. Family owned and operated and part of your community for over 85 years. Ryan Schmitz Flooring America on Roosevelt Avenue in Burlington, where friends send friends.
Summer has stuck around a little longer than we thought, but I'm ready for some fall weather. Hi, this is Steve from Ritter's Landscaping Home and Garden Center. And with our temperatures starting to cool and nighttime coming earlier each day, we know fall is here. With fall weather comes the beauty of brilliant fall color on our trees and shrubs. It also means it's time for a tree sale. Unlike many merchants this year, we have a huge inventory of trees, shade trees, and many varieties of oak, maple, and elm, and ornamental trees like Cleveland Select Pear, several varieties of crabapple and redbud, as well as black gum, Persian ironwood and Japanese tree lilac, and beautiful shrubs in Burning Bush, Viburnum, and Itea all turning their best right now. This week, save some money as we have Autumn Blaze maples in several sizes, 20% off. Yes, our most popular tree is 20% off. We have every tree in stock at least 10% off. So stop and stroll our huge selection, and you'll see why people say,
wow, it must be by Ritter's.
Well, we have passed the two-thirds mark of your season. We have now gotten to the 7/9 pole, if you will, and only three games left, Jim Kreckel, in the season that seemed to start last week. And yet here we are looking at a final third of the season where there's a lot on the line. And I know you like to go week to week, but I get paid to look far beyond. And, you know, one of the things that's really exciting to John and I in the booth is that we're looking at a team that, A, has a chance to get its first winning season since 2008 tonight, as well as an opportunity to play beyond week 9 for the first time since then as well.
Yeah, that is a lot on the table. And I'm not oblivious to any of those thoughts. You know that. It's just, for my old brain, I just try to stay focused is really what it comes down to. So I get it. Anybody who just follows sports gets that big picture. So do I 100%. But the focus of me, because, you know, truly the love of coaching, as you know, is just that day-to-day routine you're in for coaching. I mean, I love Monday for what it is in football. I love Tuesdays and Wednesdays for what it is in football, and Thursday and Friday. And that's what always brings us. That's why I'm a week-to-week mentality kind of a guy. But we got a lot to play for. You know what? We're excited again. We're 0-0 playing a team that's 0-0 against us. It's us against them. It's the first matchup and only matchup of the year between us, and we're excited about it.
I should go back and say it's not your first appearance in the postseason, should you make it this year, since 2008. John and I like to use the term the legitimate playoffs, where it was 16 teams and not 32, and expanded to include most anybody in Class 4A. But anyway, you know, we're very excited about these last 3 weeks, as I'm sure you are. And I got to believe that your approach, and there's the bell. I meant to tell her, there's the bell. So it's actually Thursday we're talking, but we're running this Friday. You know, it allows you to stay in the moment and not take this success or even last year going 1-5, any of that for granted. Because, Jim, the more I talk to you, the more I understand why you're doing this. It's not for any other reason to have an impact, and you are a true coach's coach.
Yeah, it's just it's a great approach. The kids have bought into it. I just look at our kids. They're comfortable with the approach we take with them each day, and I think through that, like you would know, you can relax as a kid, and I think you play better as a kid. You're going to perform better in a game as a kid, and I think that's just a big thing that we all want to do down there. And the culture we're trying to create for that is changing. Our younger kids are slowly, not without glitches, but they're understanding what we're trying to ask them to do on their end and what to expect on our end, because it's all got to meld together. So I think through all that, we're really happy where we're at. We're excited each and every week to watch these kids play somebody, and this game against Mount Pleasant's no different.
Well, let's talk about Mount Pleasant. We're not going to focus a ton on last week's game. 42-0 is what it is. Anybody who was there knows it wasn't a 42-0 game as much as it was just a, you know, they're a good team, and that stuff happens, but you played them very even for at least a quarter of it, if not more. But let's talk about Mount Pleasant. We call it the revenge tour, opportunity to continue. But this is a very different Mount Pleasant team from last year. It's a very different Burlington team from last year. So tell me, what can you exploit on either side of the football?
Well, I mean, they're a spread team. You know, they're going to spread the ball out. Sometimes they'll put, you know, two guys in the backfield with the quarterback. Sometimes it's one. I mean, that's usually kind of what we've been seeing all year with those teams. So it's not so much maybe what we're going to exploit. We just have to be sound fundamentally with how you approach teams like that. Coach, you know, Jordan Webb, our defensive coordinator, has done a great job of that. Also, just the whole defensive staff. We've mentioned them before. I mean, those guys have done a great job. So I just think we just got to be sound on what we're doing. There's things on offense that we discovered with ourselves where we can still improve fundamentally and schematically, and we've kind of tweaked a few things this week for whether it's Mount Pleasant that wants to try to exploit a few things. I think we're ready for some things, and down the road, if anybody else tries to do some things differently against us, but we've kind of, you know, I've been around long enough to see a lot of stuff against this offense that we use. So it gets to me, it's kind of simple. It just comes down to execution.
I'd be remiss if I didn't say that about 2 minutes before you said Jordan Webb's doing a great job. He just sat down to have lunch. So that's pulling the curtain back. So talk about last week. As you look toward this week, what things did maybe you see on tape that, you know, you looked at and you said, okay, these things need to be corrected moving forward, and so we start to see those corrections tonight.
Yeah, well, you know, we got to hope that we at least cover the pump better. We got to fan out better. That's something we really didn't do. We kind of stayed in a cylinder covering that one punt return where they ran it back, and that's on me. I'm the punt guy, so I'm going to try to coach them up and get them better at fanning out and have better distribution across the field when you find the ball. But
although I will ask, you know, in terms of coaching, that's a punt that gets past the return man, it goes 25 yards upfield. Does it not become somewhat the fundamental breaks down? Yeah, because everybody sees the loose football, yeah, sure, and they're like, I'm going to try and go make that play.
Sure, it is chaotic, but I guess if you go back to film, our approach as we started that play wasn't where we should be. That's how I'm looking at it. So other than that, chaos can be chaos. I suppose when people have played Bryant Williams a few snaps a day, they've probably said the same thing.
Well, let's talk about Bryant. You said in the paper, and you even said to us on the post-game show, some of the toughest running you've seen anybody have to make. He ends up with over 160 yards, depending on which box score you look at, but a tremendous performance against this top team in the state.
Absolutely. I think that was a little bit of feather in our cap for him and even our kids, is maybe a lot of people would have thought maybe we'd be lucky if we'd even get close to 100 yards rushing against that team. So I thought our kids played really well at times, very physical. They answered that challenge. If that's truly the number one team in the state, or if they're at least a top five team in the state, I think our kids, if anything, just gained a lot of confidence running the football. And Bryant himself, he knows. I told him that was his best game of the year because he really had to earn some yards. And yet he made some big plays in that game, too, and kind of left some of their guys on the turf athletically, so that was also great to see.
So when you look back at last week, I know I said we were going to talk about it, but here we are. Do you focus with the kids more on the 22 minutes where it was 0-0 at the end of the first half, or do you kind of talk about the rest of the game that saw the score balloon a little bit? Me, I know that's a tough line to toe because you want to be positive as well as point out the things you can improve on. But, you know, you shut that team out for the final 22 minutes of the first half.
Yeah, we talked about our strengths of that game Saturday morning. And it's like we've asked these kids to do in our part of our culture is to move on from things, whether they're good or bad. Don't celebrate too long. Don't dwell too long. There's always another play to go. So if you go back to our Saturdays going over those films, we did stress on the positives we had in that game, and they know the positives they had. We still touched on things, but, you know, that game's over with, and the kids they understand where we got to get better, and that's really about all I can say to that one.
Last question. You know, they come in at 1-5, does Mount Pleasant, you're 4-2. Obviously, so much lying ahead. You've used the term 0-0,
yeah.
0-0. This type of team, you've made it sound all year like all year has been very workmanlike.
Good.
No fear,
yeah,
in my mind, of them looking ahead anywhere past tonight.
100%. I just think they've latched on to that type of approach. I think it works great for our kind of kids we got here at Burlington High School, and I think it's showing. And I'm not going to change it. Probably won't change that next year or whatever else down the road, the kind of kids we got here. I think it works great for them. And, the 0-0 thing is, it's just us against them. It doesn't matter who's played who. We get on the field. We're just going to do what we do and enjoy. You know, for them, they'll enjoy playing with each other. We've talked about that. And for us, we'll enjoy coaching them that night.
Well, I know you're going to say we'll be 1-0 after tonight with a win. I'm going to say first winning season in 13 seasons, and you keep your postseason hopes alive. That's where I am. I understand where you're coming from. We'll talk after the game or next week, whoever we talk to in the postgame show. Good luck tonight.
All right, I appreciate it. Josh Osborne, a coach, will be your guest if he can make his way to the booth. So.
I will make sure he understands we are expecting his arrival. Head coach Jim Krekel of the Burlington Greyhounds, as we count down to kickoff for Week 7, the Panthers and the Greyhounds coming up in just a few minutes on KBUR and KBUR.com.
Does your insurance agent treat you like family?
Insurance Corporation is programmed to build interpersonal relationships with members of family units. We communicate on a four-name basis with all customer numbers.
Only a human who knows you can create a plan that's right for you. That's why for 80 years at Farm Bureau Financial Services, we've built relationships first and plans second. It's your future. Let's protect it.
Call me, Tim Lundgren, your local Farm Bureau agent at 319-209-2020.
Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, the professional staff at Standard of Beaverdale can help you every step of the way. Doors, roofing, siding, windows, decks, electrical, and of course, lumber. Standard of Beaverdale will help you with the planning and design no matter what project you're working on, and they will deliver. Need a new home appliance? Standard of Beaverdale. Check out the new Speed Queen washer and dryer. Enjoy the game. Standard of Beaverdale, located on Beaverdale Road in West Burlington, Iowa. At Bob Dodd's Insurance, they recognize the value of teamwork and believe that hard work pays off both in sports and in life. They wish all the athletes competing this season good luck and encourage you to put your all into practice today to achieve victory tomorrow. Trust in teamwork. Trust in tomorrow. Contact Bob Dodd's Insurance, your local Grinnell Mutual agent at 319-392-8311 today for all your insurance needs. Trust in tomorrow is a registered trademark of Grinnell Mutual Reinsurance Company.
Back here at the Bracewell Stadium as the Queso's Mexican Bar and Grill pregame show rolls on, it is time for tonight's area schedule brought to you by Tim Lundgren's Farm Bureau Financial Services. Tonight's games around the area, or games of interest, if you will. We'll start with Class 4A District 3 and the other two games that are going on in District 3 tonight. North Scott, of course, 42-0 winners last night, or last week. That's twice. Last week here at Bracewell Stadium. They are 6-0. They are ranked number one. They're 2-0 in the district. They're on the road at Clinton tonight. So expect the Lancers to be 7-0 and 3-0 after this one is over. And then Iowa City Liberty, they're just south in Fort Madison taking on the Bloodhounds. Liberty is 1-5, of course, the opponent for Burlington next week. They're on the road taking on the still unbeaten Fort Madison, and I didn't check the rankings this week. I would guess they were 7 last week, probably 5, 6, or 7 this week. Again, putting the cart before the horse, perhaps. North Scott, Fort Madison, a big showdown next week, but if everything goes like we expect, they'll come in with one loss in 2 weeks. We've got to win this one, and next week, and then we'll have one loss, and it'll be a playoff game to end the regular season. Other area games, an eight-player tonight. Winfield Mount Union is at Tri-County. Thornburg, Waco will play host to Lone Tree, and New London is at Iowa Valley Marengo. In Class A, Columbus plays host to North Cedar Stanwood. Wapello hosts Alburnett. Pekin will be at home against Belle Plaine. In Class 1A, L&M, Loisa Muscatine, the Falcons will be at Wilton. Mediapolis on the road at Durant tonight. Cardinal plays host to Pella Christian. Van Buren will take on Pleasantville in Keosauqua. And Sigourney Kyoto will be at Central Decatur, Leon, I should say. In Class 2A, only one game of interest. Central Lee is at Eddyville, Blakesburg, Fremont. And in Class 3A, Fairfield on the road at Solon tonight. Keokuk will be at Washington. And just across town, the Falcons. West Burlington Notre Dame still looking for victory number one. They will play host to Grinnell.
Getting better all the time over there at West Burlington Notre Dame. Your Diamond Vogel colors of the game tonight are, starting with your visitors from Mount Pleasant, you'll see them in their white jerseys with their entire shoulder maroon as a shoulder yoke. They'll have gold numbers with white shadow TV numbers and the maroon with gold shadow on the front and back.
John, what's a TV number?
It is a big 9 to 12 inch number.
Where?
Usually on their shoulder.
There you go. Yeah. I was just trying to set you up so you could tell the listener at home what a TV number
and
is.
And I appreciate you setting me up.
On the radio.
So their pants are white with no stripes. They will have a maroon matte shell. There are no helmet stripes with a maroon face mask. And their logo is a Mount Pleasant MP side by side with a dropped P lower than the M. For your Greyhounds, again, they are in their traditional black jerseys with a solid purple shoulder yoke, with purple numbers with a white outline. Their pants are black with the wide purple stripe down the side. Their helmets are the deep royal purple with no stripes with a black face mask with Speed Hound number 2 on there. So Your color college game of the day will be Central Michigan here at TCU.
And I came up with that. I hope you are in agreement.
My second alternate school would have been Wyoming.
Well, I will tell you that the first game of the night, the curtain raiser, if you will, the JV game between Mount Pleasant and Burlington, the Greyhounds fall to 1-5-1 as they dropped it 36-6. Another score of note, Nate Spear today in the first round of the two-round state golf tournament finished at 2-under. He is currently one shot back, and the rest of the team kind of struggled today. I think a little inexperienced, as good as they all are. State tournament's a little different animal, but Nate Spear shot a 2-under. The leaders are at 3 with one round to play tomorrow. Game time conditions, it's clear, about 79 degrees. Well, that was about an hour ago, so let me get my phone.
It's cooled off a little bit.
So
wind's still fairly calm. And still a great night. If you're thinking about coming down, come on down, because it's a great night.
72 degrees with a sunset that occurred just about an hour ago. Humidity at 72%, a 10% chance of rain. Wind out of the north-northeast at 3. It feels like 72. So north-northeast here at Bracewell Stadium is in our face from the press box, coming toward us from the directly across or left directly across diagonally. So that's the game time conditions as well. Beautiful night for football again. The humidity has gone up, believe it or not, 20% in the last hour and a half. So, again, we hate to say this, even with the temperature at 72, cramping could become a factor tonight.
Yeah, but I think we're this late into the season. If everybody's treated themselves correctly, Scott, and hydrated through the day, I think they're going to be in good shape for tonight. It's just a matter of how they take in fluids through the day, you know, or through the night. And so whenever there's a timeout or something like that, they've got to make sure they get a shot of something. I know they've got some pickle juice and some of the other Gatorade products in the locker room for halftime. So for us, it's just a matter of making sure, as Coach Kreck always does, dialing his players in as the night goes on.
Well, the Greyhounds are looking for win number 548 all time against 478 losses and 44 ties. Looking for win number 324 in conference or district games and win number 316 here at Bracewell Stadium. The Greyhounds are 392, 331, and 14 on Friday and 377, 89, and 8 when they score first dating back to 1925. So keep an eye on if they score first tonight. For the seventh time, these teams will meet in Week 7 with BHS leading the series 4-2. Last having met, however, in Week 7 back in 1932. And Burlington, something to think about, on pace to score the most points since 2001. They're on pace to score 294. That 296-point mark was established by the 2001 Greyhounds. And here's my favorite stat of the night. The teams. So the Greyhounds are 9-7-2 on October 8th. Okay? These teams have met once on October 8th. Tell me when that happened.
I have absolutely no idea.
It sounds 100 like years ago tonight.
That is a great stat. I almost thought it was going to be a scorigami on top of it, so that would have just blown your mind.
And the other thing is, it was a tie. Burlington 13, Mount Pleasant 13, 100 years ago tonight. Well, we're going to shut it down, John and I, while we step back and let the band take over. It's time for tonight's Rhein-Schmidt's Flooring America National Anthem.
Burn the tape. Flush it. Move on. Whatever the euphemism, that is what the Burlington Greyhounds have to do tonight. Forget last week's 42-0 loss to Noah Scott, all the while taking the best and the worst of the game to play to their greatest potential tonight against Mount Pleasant. And while it won't be easy to forget the bad, first and foremost the final score, it would be wise for Burlington to focus on the good. After falling behind 14-0, the Greyhounds played even with the best team in Class 4A for the next 22 minutes. And while the Lancers put 42 points on the scoreboard, well, seven of those came after an interception set North Scott up on the Burlington 22, and another seven came on a punt return set up by a punt that traveled farther than usual. While it's true that the hope for a district title took a hit a week ago, it still remains that many goals are in play for the Greyhounds, either as a team or individually. With a win tonight, Burlington will assure themselves of a winning record for the first time since 2008, and the Greyhounds will keep their postseason hopes alive
in attempting to make a return to the playoffs for the first time in nearly a decade. For Bryant Williams, immortality awaits with big games over the season's final 3 weeks. School rushing records for a single season and a career are well within reach, as are scoring and total yards records. And the Greyhounds, well, their offense and their defense still have chances to set new standards in their own rights when talking about total yardage. Let's just say, the less that Burlington remembers about Week 6, the better its chances of winning in Week 7. The revenge tour continues as BHS looks to avenge last season's finale, a 42-16 loss in Mount Pleasant. Will the Panthers stalk Burlington, sneak up and steal a win? Or will the Greyhounds sprint past the visitors to their fifth victory of 2021? MP, BHS, next.
At Ryan Schmitz Flooring America, we are big fans of local sports, and we're proud of the athletes who have the courage and the drive to compete. We know success on the field or court takes great teamwork, trust, and dedication from all your teammates and coaches. We live by those same qualities here at Ryan Schmitz. From our team to yours, best wishes in the games to come. We'll be rooting for you. Family owned and operated and part of your community for over 85 years. Ryan Schmitz Flooring America on Roosevelt Avenue in Burlington, where friends send friends.
Here at Pizza Ranch, we'd like to thank our Swedish friends for bringing the buffet to America. They called it the smorgasbord, but it was a success anyway. So we started our own buffet and loaded it up with pizza, chicken, sides, salads, and cactus bread. And you can even request any pizza you want anytime you visit. We call it Buffet Your Way, because smorgasbord your way, well, that doesn't rhyme at all. Pizza Ranch. Mmm.
Come to Pizza Ranch in Burlington for their lunch and dinner buffet. For delivery or to go, call 754-5555.
Summer, a time to enjoy the outdoors on ATVs, campers, side-by-sides, and motorcycles. If you've had your heart set on a new toy, Pine the Grove Savings Bank is here to help. Maybe you want a new home or to improve your current home. We can finance those dreams too. We're working for Southeast Iowa in 14 locations, including our newest location on South Gear Avenue in West Burlington. And a loan officer who understands your needs is just a short drive away. Pine the Grove Savings Bank, member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
It's time. The teams are ready. Our team is ready. Burlington Greyhounds football is on the air on KBUR. Let's get
ready to rock. This is one heck of a starting lineup.
This is Burlington Greyhounds football. With tonight's game, here's Scott Mason and John Flaherty.
And I'm Scott.
I'm John.
And we're at Bracewell Stadium, Marilyn Miller Sr. Family Field at Bracewell Stadium, to be ultimately specific, and our perch in the press box at about the 47-yard line, I'm going to say. You're probably sitting on the 50.
I'm 49.
Okay, 49. So
if I'm leaning.
Yeah, we're here, and it's about time for Week 7, the Burlington Greyhounds, as the Queso's Mexican Bar and Grill pregame show comes to a close. We're less than a minute away from getting things going. A little Ted Nugent stranglehold in the background. Oh, yeah.
That's not Ted Nugent.
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah, this Ted Nugent stranglehold. Look it up.
Okay.
Here's why I know that, because I heard this on 93.5 one year. Or no, I take that back. It was on KQ92. And I actually texted the DJ. I said, who is that and what song is that? And he told me. So I know it's Ted Nugent stranglehold. This is one of the coolest songs and guitar riffs there is in music. But you got me all distracted. I wanted to talk about football as the Greyhounds
come
charging on the field.
Well, don't need to stay focused on the game.
John, don't question.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my mistake that I threw Scott off because I thought it was Ozzy Osbourne, and I should have known it was.
Oh, come on! You thought this was Ozzy Osbourne? Seriously? John. Not all long-haired rockers sound the same.
I'm going to vehemently disagree with you. So there.
I did not see who won the toss. Did you?
Well, you're so busy mocking me about
okay.
Ted Nugent versus Ozzy Osbourne.
Let's pull back the curtain again. Who mocks who every weekend, every Friday night, when I go through diligently to create wonderful introduction, introductions like Brent Musburger, Pat Summerall, those names from the past.
I'm
to
going
get
to say anybody who's around you.
Really? That kind of hurts. I'm not going to lie to you. kind of hurts.
But it is me because that's the relationship we have.
So
we actually have a coin toss right now.
So Julian Perez Hall, Noah Nixon, Ryan Bowman, and Nolan Simpson are your captains for the Greyhounds. Well, I just lost my mojo.
Okay.
Oh, Mount Pleasant has won the toss and has chosen to receive. So to start things off, Burlington will kick off going from right to left on your radio dial or on your handheld device, whatever. Going right to left tonight, which is south to north here at Bracewell Stadium. So any wind that there is will be in their face coming from their right as they matriculate the ball down the field.
Now that we got our mojo back, Scott, there is really no better picture in high school football than the mist that hangs over the stadium when the game is getting ready to get kicked off here. And so a great crowd, both from Mount Pleasant, of course, our Greyhound fans always do a great job of traveling, and we are set for a great night of football. I think the keys tonight for the Greyhound, Scott, is to go ahead and get out early. A turnover here right off the bat would be a great start for us to do. I think Mount Pleasant's in a situation where they have a great high hope as the game starts, but I think if you put the hammer to them early, I think you may see the thing shut down a little bit. So all eyes are on Carson Coleman, the Mount Pleasant quarterback, as he provides most of the offense for the Panthers. And for us, it's going to be Bryant Williams and that offensive line. And who can deal the cards best tonight will prove who comes out of this game with a victory tonight.
Peyton Hagans, Isaiah Albright, and Dylan Hagans back deep to receive the kickoff to start things off from Xavion Baker. His approach, and it's just going to be a little pooch kick taken at the 35 by one of the Uckbacks. And pushing his way to the 44 for Mount Pleasant is Chase Irving. So a 9-yard return to get things started here tonight. Panthers will have it first and 10 at their own 44.
Yeah, Xavier makes it like old school football where they got your big old lineman straight on kicking and he just does a nice job. But I got Irving, such a tall kid, he was just able to high point that ball and give the Panthers some pretty good field position as we start this game tonight.
The Planters or the Panthers?
Panthers. Did I say Planters? Why do you always make fun of me? I'm off my mojo.
Because you either call the Panthers the Planters or your voice cracks. I know puberty is hard. It cracked during the curtain raiser on PA.
Old age.
Shotgun formation, two receivers right, one left. Here's a keeper by Coleman, taking it off the left side. He's hit by Carlo Martinez-Hale, driven backward and dropped back at the 43, a loss of one.
I think you'll see a lot of this edge rushing tonight, Scott. I think our team speed is just too much for this offensive line from Mount Pleasant. Big guys up front do a good job once they engage, but the problem is last week against Iowa City Liberty, they were just too slow off the ball, and I think you're going to see a lot of that from Coach Webb tonight.
A little 3-4-4 defense right now. Caleb Zog, your left defensive tackle. Julius Harris, your nose tackle, and, of course, the right side is going to be, I can't catch that number. Here's a give on second down and 11 to the tailback, Peyton Hagans. And Hagans across the 45 to about the 47, a gain of four to bring up third down and seven.
Again, Carlo Martinez-Hale is going to have a night of being able to come either over the top or underneath this Mount Pleasant offensive line. He made the tackle. The positive thing here, as we talked about some key starters injured, is the return of Nolan Simpson. Did a nice job as he was coming in on that stunt to be able to plant and come back. So that's good to see that he looks like he's at full strength.
Third down and seven from the 47. First drive of the game if you're just joining us. Less than 2 minutes in. Coleman going to roll left, roll left, roll left. Now he's going to tuck it and run. Turns it upfield, gets into Burlington territory, but not far enough for a first down. He gets five to the Greyhound 48. It'll be, actually, they give him the 47, so we're going to go the right foot of the near side official. It's fourth down and one.
Yep, Julius Harris did a nice job coming off the block and making his way across the field to get the stop here. Interesting fourth down for the Panthers. They really don't have anything to lose this season, so why not put some pressure on the Greyhound defense? Snap count, make some guys jump.
You said making his way, and I went, making your way in the world today takes everything you've got.
You are musically on fire
tonight.
Thank
you. Little cheers right there. Trips to the left side, a fourth down and one, and now a whistle as Mount Pleasant wants to talk things over. Surprisingly enough, they came out with trips to the left side, the short side of the field, and now they decide they'd like to rethink that on fourth down and 3 feet to go to move the chains. So 1-5 Mount Pleasant, What does 1-5 Mount Pleasant have to do to try and compete tonight with 4-2 Burlington?
I'm going to tell you, tackle. Watching the film all week on these guys, the one thing that is their most glaring weakness in all of their games is the ability to stop at the point of contact and not have additional yards after that. And especially against Iowa City Liberty last week, it was especially painful to see their running backs just kind of bounce off of these tacklers. And again, if we can pound at them early, and the fact that Nolan's back and Noah's back, you got a nice 1-2 punch at the fullback spot, and then it's going to be Bryant Williams. And I don't really think anybody on this Mount Pleasant squad has an ability to stop him one-on-one.
Well, big play coming up for the Burlington defense if they could force, in this case, a 5 or 6 and out. But keeping Mount Pleasant off the scoreboard to start things off on the first drive of the night. So Coleman in the shotgun position behind center. Once again, they send 3 to the left as Mount Pleasant. 1 wide out to the right side in Noah Fisk. Here's Coleman on a keeper off the left side.
Ball.
Did he drop the ball? Did it hit the ground? The far side official, I didn't see the ball drop, and I don't have my binoculars on. You said it did. Either way, it looks like he's got enough for the first down. We look at the replay as we've got a cool little monitor up here provided by Broken Centrifuge. And the gain of 1, they are going to, in fact, move the chains.
You'll see here on the replay, Scott, the ball does actually pop out for a second. And Coleman gets it back and is able to continue on and get that forward dive for that first down. So great execution by the Panthers here to get that first down of the game.
So move the chains, first down and 10 at the Greyhound 46. Coleman, now flags will blow things dead.
That's going to be Kanye. Kanye lined up in the neutral zone, Scott. He was playing man-man and just kind of stepped inside that neutral zone, and the official had to throw it.
Man in the white hat, Greg Miller from Davenport, makes the signal. It is an offsides call on Burlington. So the 5-yard penalty will give Mount Pleasant the football at the 41 and have a first down and 5.
This is what the Greyhounds cannot give the Panthers, a reason to believe and hope and some easy second and third yard possessions.
First down and 5 from the Greyhound 41. 2 to the right, 1 to the left. Here's a give to the tailback, being patient with the football and getting it near the 40. I believe that's Peyton Hagins. If that's an 18, it is an 18. Hagins with a gain of 4 to the Greyhound 37.
Things are a little chippy already. R.J. Dawson kind of pushing Jack Carlson around. It's Jackson's trying to get off the pile, and R.J.'s thinking that Jackson had something to say to the running back and kind of shoved him out of the way, helping up his teammate.
5 runs on this opening possession for Fort Madison. Mount Pleasant getting ahead of myself. 14 yards so far, and a penalty on Burlington has gotten it to the Greyhound 37, I should say. Here's a keeper by Coleman after the fake to Hagins, and Coleman able to put his shoulder down and bully his way to the 19-yard line for a gain of 18 as the Panthers move into the Matt Rinker State Farm red zone for the first time tonight.
Yeah, Coleman does a nice job of ball faking here and handles it well, stays inside the trap area, and makes a great gain for the Panthers.
So first down and 10 at the 19-yard line as the Panthers are moving it very well on the opening possession.
Again, some chippiness here. We've got Deshaun Kennard, who was being blocked on that play by number 58, Trevor Wellington.
Once again, 2-by-1, 2 left, 1 right. Here's Hagins on a sweep around the left side. He's hit at the 15, trying to get spun down on the far side. I believe that's Carlson. Again, I don't have my binoculars, and these numbers you cannot see.
It is Carlson.
So that's a gain of 5 for Hagins.
Just coming in with a lot of fight tonight here. And the good thing is you had Gabe Robinson out there playing the contain that he didn't play last week very well against North Scott. So it allows Carlson to come in from the inside out to make the stop on number 18 of the Panthers, and that is Hagins.
Coleman takes it to Hagins again. Keeper right up the gut, and he's got the 10. Close to another first down. Gain of 4. It'll be 3rd and 1.
That was Owen Baker on the stop for the Greyhounds coming in from that outside linebacker spot. a tough quarterback here who does a great job of holding that ride for as long as he possibly can.
So the Grounds need a stop. Better to do it here. Third down and one, ball resting just inside the 10. Coleman shouts out the signals, gives it to Higgins off the left side. He's got the first down. Not a lot more, but enough to move the chains, or at least drop the chains, as it'll be goal to go. We'll see how they spot it. It's at the 8, so it'll be a gain of 2, but a first down and goal to go for Mount Pleasant.
And this really plays into the Mount Pleasant Panther game plan. As long as they're on the field, Bryant Williams and that Greyhound offense is not. So as long as they're taking time off the clock, they are very happy where they're at.
First and goal from the 8-yard line. Coleman follows Higgins into the hole. Gets hit, driven backward. I think they'll give him forward progress to the 7, a gain of 1.
Coming in on there is got Trey Maxwell that came in on the stop, replaced Noah Nixon. And Phil Phillips getting a little action here early tonight. Yeah, it's nice to have that screen. Thank
Isn't
you, Broken Centrifuge. It gives us a much better look here as we get set up for you guys.
Perhaps I should just call it from the display.
Yeah, there we are.
Hey. Hi, guys. Second and goal from the 7. Coleman on a delay. Gives it to Higgins. Tries to get the right side. Turns it upfield. Dives toward the end zone.
There's
to get
ball.
In. Ball come out. Higgins, no signal as of yet. They're going to say he's down short of the goal at the 1. So gain of 6 for Peyton Higgins. And it'll be 3rd and goal.
3rd and goal inside the 1.
Again, Coach S. Hoy and Coach Walsh shuffling in that front 3. And our starters are back in. Anthony Morrison, Julius Harrison, Caleb Zog.
Ball resting inside the 1-yard line. Garrett Cook goes wide to the left. They send 2 wide to the right. Now a bit of a full house backfield, 2 tailbacks. Coleman gives it to Higgins, who can't get the quarter this time. He's hit behind the line of scrimmage by Zog and about 3 other black shirts and dropped at the 5, a loss of 4. It'll bring up 4th and goal.
One of the biggest problems with the spread offense, Scott, is once you get inside.
Oh, I know. I know. Matt Nagy likes to run the spread. Don't get me started about the challenges of goal to goal with the spread off. Go ahead, John.
So in comes the Mount Pleasant Panther field goal team as they get set to set up for what looks to be a little chip shot for number 26.
Owen Van Sickle from the right hash. Ball will be placed at the 10. So called a 20-yarder. Snap is good. Spot is good. And the knuckleball kick goes between the uprights as well. 4:14 remaining in the first quarter. And the clock continues to run. Evidently a continuous clock. Nope. Well, I don't know what it is.
We're having
either way,
clock difficulties.
They are. They ran 6 seconds off the clock. Regardless, that's an almost 8-minute drive for Mount Pleasant. We'll come back in 30 seconds if we can. It's 3-0 Mount Pleasant on KBUR and KBUR.com.
Now is the time to finish all of your painting projects. Hi, this is Nick with Diamond Vogel Paints. Whether you are a contractor trying to finish your projects before winter sets in, or a homeowner reviving your interior spaces before the holidays, Diamond Vogel has everything that you're looking for in a paint supplier. Ease of application, performance and durability, perfect color, and exceptional service. Stop in for our fall decorating event going on now, Diamond Vogel, the miracle of paint, located at 3200 Division Street, Burlington.
12 plays, 46 yards. On the opening drive of the night, Mount Pleasant takes the opening kickoff and puts 3 on the board, and they lead the Greyhounds 3-0. Here is the Greyhounds will get the ball for the first time with 4 minutes and 11 seconds left in the first quarter, so we have yet to see, and this is, as you said, probably exactly what they wanted to do, which was keep the ball out of Bryant Williams' hands.
Now the big question is, what will Owen Van Sickle do as he gets set to kick off?
Did you see what he was doing in pregame? Nothing but onside kicks to the left. I mean, straight onside kicks. No squibs, just 10 yards, trying to get that second hop.
Well, and that would play because that 40 to 30-yard line over on that far side is wide open.
Van Sickle with the approach and a squibber taken at the 33-yard line. by Ryan Bowman, and Bowman able to work his way and matriculate it up just short of the 45. Browns will start this drive at the 44, so good field position for the Greyhounds. And this is the thing. I mean, you keep it out of Williams' hands, yes, but the Greyhounds have started a lot of drives really close to plus territory.
And you know, as you start from the 20, 30, 40, your chances of getting in the end zone increase exponentially as you move farther up. And this gives the Greyhounds a little more flexibility of how they call their offense as they start here on their own 44-yard line.
Bowman, the wing back to the right side. I formation set for the Greyhounds. Kanye Baker starting at quarterback. Nolan Simpson, the fullback. Williams dots the I. Baker turns and gives it to Williams off the left side. Midfield into Mount Pleasant territory. Still on his feet till he's finally hogtied and driven backward, but not before he gets 13 to the Mount Pleasant 43-yard line.
And Bryce Wilson was hanging on for dear life as Bryant Williams was into the second level. And I tell you, if he squirts through those hands, he is gone for six.
So first down and 10 for the Greyhounds. A chain mover on the first play from scrimmage. It took Mount Pleasant 12 plays to get three. Let's see if the Greyhounds get on the board in fewer plays. I formation set once again. Baker turns this time off the right side, gives it to Williams. And Williams hit behind the line of scrimmage but falls forward, spins out of a tackle to the 42, a gain of one.
Chase Irving and Isaac Jarrell kind of in that pile. And, you know, they're just going to go steady diet, but you know counter's coming and you know Nolan Simpson's coming in trap and maybe Kanye on a counter. So this is still a very good setup for the Greyhounds so far.
Second down and nine from the 42. Williams left side again. Almost got loose. Put the ball on the ground. Nolan Simpson trying to fall on it. Can't. Williams got yardage to the 38, but put it on the ground. That's a gain of four, but a turnover gives it to Mount Pleasant.
Morgan Van Nuys squeezes out of the pile with the football. And that's kind of a, as we take a look at the replay, he's reaching. And just as he's got his elbow extended to try to continue further on, it gets punched out by number Van Nuys himself, and he's able to come off to the tackle and get the ball. So this is, you know, we've talked about this early in the season, how do you respond to bad things, and so held themselves off on a very good first drive by Mount Pleasant, but now you've had your own hiccup. How do we respond?
So the Greyhounds trailing 3-0, now on defense again, 3:05 remaining in the first quarter. Carson Coleman barking out the signals in the shotgun. Turns and gives it to Hagans. Hagans off the left side. Hagans trying to get the corner. He does, but not for much more than five. They're going to give him the 43. Peyton Hagans with a gain of five. It'll be second down and five.
Gabe Robinson has certainly learned his lesson, Scott. He is setting that edge and makes a very nice tackle on the Mount Pleasant ball carrier. So we've just got to try to get a little more penetration and make sure that we hit Coleman along the way. This is option football. Take care of your assignment.
Two wideouts to the left side, one to the right. Ball resting on the left hash. Coleman going to pitch it to Hagans this time. Trying to turn the corner, put it on the ground himself. Ball still on the ground. Who's got it? Who's got it? The Greyhounds do. Hagans coughs it up and gives it right back to the Greyhounds.
Sophomore game had the curtain raiser had a similar series of balls coming out and fumbles. I don't know if it's slick and maybe a little bit of humidity in the air makes it a little extra slick. I'm not sure, but that is something the Greyhounds desperately needed to get their momentum chained around. Nice job. It was actually Julius Harris on the tackle wrapped around and punched from the backside to get that ball out.
So Kanye Baker in the Greyhound offense, first and 10 from the Mount Pleasant 38. Baker off the left side, center step, 30, 25, gets the corner, 20, 15, 10, 5, inside the 5-yard line. No, they're going to say he stepped out at the 11. So give him a gain of 27 yards, and the Greyhounds have gotten into the Matt Rinker State Farm red zone.
They just haven't seen this kind of speed this year, and Dylan Hagans, you know he stepped out, but again, Dylan Hagans is hanging on for dear life as Bryant almost makes his way into the end zone for 6 points.
So the Greyhounds threatening to get on the board, trailing 3-0, 1:55 and counting remaining in the first quarter. Baker turns, gives it to Williams. Simple enough. Williams inside the 10, inside the 5, spins down to the 2, maybe the 1. We'll see where they spot. I'm going to say the 2, a gain of 9.
We got to stay engaged. Nolan's got to find some guys. And Brian's got to just kind of keep his eyes on Nolan's backside number. I think if he cuts left, he's able to walk in for 6.
Second down, less than a yard. Burlington can actually get a first down without scoring. But I would guess they'll score in one of these next two plays. Baker, Williams, into the end zone. Touchdown! Greyhounds from 2 yards out, and it's 6-3.
Just walked in, and the screen went out just as the explosive went off from Tom Buckman. And
you jumped like a little
boy. I did. I was a little nervous maybe that there were some gunshots ringing out. I'm not sure. But great job by the offense of the Greyhounds to respond to the score from the Panthers. And now, again, this is this emotional tide that I think Mount Pleasant, we talked about, was it 2 weeks ago? And, you know, the defense looking at each other like, this Bryant did. This Williams kid's pretty good, huh?
Well, the Grounds are going to go for 2 if Velasquez out. Baker under center. I formation. He's going to pitch it to Williams, trying to get the right side. Stutter step. Going to get to the corner easily. Takes it in. So the Greyhounds, with 1:17 remaining in the first quarter, lead now 8-3. We'll step away for 1 minute. When I come back, something you need to know on KBUR and KBUR.com.
For over 30 years, Courtesy Door's reputation has been built by the quality of their products and the satisfaction of their customers. Garage doors, openers, or parts, Courtesy Door has what you need. They offer residential and commercial products from Rainer and Clopay, also specializing in large-scale agricultural and commercial doors. To schedule a service call, get a quote, or learn more about the area's favorite door company, go to CourtesyDoor.com or stop by at 2231 James Avenue in Mount Pleasant.
Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, the professional staff at Standard of Beaverdale can help you every step of the way. Doors, roofing, siding, windows, decks, electrical, and of course, lumber. Standard of Beaverdale will help you with the planning and design no matter what project you're working on, and they will deliver. Need a new home appliance? Standard of Beaverdale. Check out the new Speed Queen washer and dryer. Enjoy the game. Standard of Beaverdale, located on Beaverdale Road in West Burlington, Iowa.
My favorite song, I gotta catch up. This is my favorite song of the entire album.
And I will send it to you in a text form when I figure out what the name of it is.
Make it my ringtone.
I can't remember what the name of it is. But so we've got a stat you need to know, but we'll wait until we get on the other side of this kickoff by Xavion Baker. As he approaches, and Lou Groza style, kicks it, and it hits about the 30, takes a ground roll to the 20, picked up and bringing it up the far side. That's Higgins. He's got the sideline and pushed out of bounds around the 35. They'll give him the 36, so that's where the Panthers will start. So with that touchdown and two-point conversion now, some records to think about that could be broken tonight. Bryant Williams now needs 9 points to set a new school single-season record for points. He now needs 49 points to set a new school career points record. He now needs 2 more rushing touchdowns to set the single-season record for rushing touchdowns, and he needs 2 more total touchdowns in any way, shape, or form to set a new single-season record for total touchdowns. Those could all fall tonight, except for career points, probably. Here's a pick by Carlo Martinez-Hales. I'm telling you what you need to know. Coleman rolls to his right, throws it right to Carlo Martinez-Hales at the 45, and CMH winds his way to the 41, and the Grounds once again have a short field in the final minute of the first quarter.
Great pressure put on by Nolan Simpson coming from the inside out on the stunt. And no way that Mr. Coleman saw Carlo Martinez-Hale floating in the wings to pick that off. They're everywhere.
Greyhounds with a chance to build on this lead. 1:04 remaining in the first. First and 10 from the 41. And an inside handoff to Nolan Simpson. A quick hitter. Simpson may be a yard. It'll be second and a long 9.
Dylan Higgins with the tackle for the Panthers there. A little concerned when Nolan starts reaching that ball out. Things pop out, and I don't care who you are. If it pops out, the official crew may not see that a knee is down or anything like that. So this is ball control and ball.
Could be the final play of the first quarter. Baker under center, checks out the defense. Takes the snap, turns and gives it to Williams. with his right hand. Williams gets out of a tackler at the 42, trying to get the right side now. Almost out of the hands of another tackler. He's still on his feet. Winds out of the hands of two other tacklers down to the 35-yard line. That was speed. That was elusiveness. That was stick-to-itiveness for a gain of all of 3 yards.
And that's strength. And that, you know what? You call out that it's a gain of 3 yards. But that is a mind-breaker for this Mount Pleasant defense. They're thinking they've got him stopped at the line of scrimmage. They think they got him stopped at the 40. And all of a sudden, he is still running. This is where I like to say he's a la Josh Osborne, because you think he's down, and all of a sudden, he's still running. So that Mount Pleasant Panther defense is like, okay, guys, we really need to make sure we do everything we can to contain him.
12 in the books, 36 to go. Greyhounds 8, Panthers 3, back in 1 minute on KBUR.
Agriculture and business ventures can be stressful. I would like to help relieve some of that stress. I'm Max Mercer with Danville State Savings Bank. I invite you to become part of the Danville Bank family, where we give you the time and respect that you deserve. When you're ready, so are we.
Just one more way the team at Danville State Savings Bank goes the extra mile. They believe that local business people and farmers like you are the backbone of the community.
Offices in Danville, New London, and online at danvillebank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Here at Pizza Ranch, we'd like to thank our Swedish friends for bringing the buffet to America. They called it the smorgasbord, but it was a success anyway. So we started our own buffet and loaded it up with pizza, chicken, sides, salads, and cactus bread. And you can even request any pizza you want anytime you visit. We call it Buffet Your Way, because smorgasbord your way, well, it doesn't rhyme at all. Pizza Ranch. Mmm.
Come to Pizza Ranch in Burlington for their lunch and dinner buffet. For delivery or to go, call 754-5555.
Back here at Bracewell Stadium, third down and 5 from the 36-yard line. A quick hitter, and Nolan Simpson finds his way through the line. Gets to the second and the third level and driven out of bounds at the 18-yard line. The Greyhounds have entered the Matt Rinker State Farm red zone. I almost said the Case IH. That's Gary Dolphin, not Scott Mason. That's a gain of 23.
Yeah, Jacob Richmond on the touchdown-saving tackle. I always get nervous when old Nolan switches the ball, because he does it point-to-point and not belly-to-belly, and I'm afraid that things going to work out. But it worked well for us in this incident.
First down and 10 for the Greyhounds from the Panther 18. Counter move. First time tonight. Williams up the right side. Stutter step at the 10. Gets around a tackler and waltzes into the end zone. This time from 18 yards out. And it's 14-3.
Okay, you have to be blunt on this. I feel horrible for Wyatt Whitsmall, because he saw Bryant coming and he was like, yeah, I'm not going to win for losing. And I'm really just going to stand here and do the best I can.
There are those who would say he needs to go back and pick up his athletic supporter, as he was faked out of it.
Yeah, so.
Or his ankles.
Six
whatever.
Of the 9 points down as we get closer to our first record for Mr. Williams.
We'll see what happens right here. Last time he got a run for the 2-point conversion. This time we'll see what the Greyhounds do from the right hash.
Oh, look, a soccer ball got loose from the south end zone.
Crazy.
Those wacky kids back there.
2-point try coming up to make it 16-3. Turn, Nolan Simpson tried to push it forward through the middle, decided to veer his way outside between right guard and right tackle, and finds the crease into the end zone, and the 2-point run is good. 11:48 remaining in quarter number 2, and the Greyhounds have built their lead up to 13. It's 16-3 on KBUR and KBUR.com. Back in 1 minute.
Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, the professional staff at Standard of Beaverdale can help you every step of the way. Doors, roofing, siding, windows, decks, electrical, and of course, lumber. Standard of Beaverdale will help you with the planning and design no matter what project you're working on, and they will deliver. Need a new home appliance? Standard of Beaverdale. Check out the new Speed Queen washer and dryer. Enjoy the game. Standard of Beaverdale, located on Beaverdale Road in West Burlington, Iowa.
Discover new tastes, celebrate traditions, and make new ones at Queso's Mexican Bar and Grill. Queso's features fresh ingredients and distinct spices that will tantalize your taste buds. Their menu is a delicious fusion of Tex-Mex and traditional Mexican recipes, as well as signature handcrafted margaritas, all served with a smile. Explore new flavors or enjoy the traditional Mexican dishes you already love. Dine in or carry out, there's something for everyone at Queso's Mexican Bar and Grill in Burlington. Go Greyhounds!
Back here at Merrill A. Miller Senior Family Field at Bracewell Stadium, Burlington, with a pair of touchdown runs by Bryant Williams, one from 18 yards, one from 27, or from two, I should say. He had a 27-yard run to set it up. One from two, one from 18, and it's 16-3. Xavion Williams kicks it away. Baker, I should say, taking it at the 21. That's going to be Hagans bringing it from the far side to the near side. Gets up to the 38-yard line, a return of 17 yards. And a little update, Bryant Williams with 16 points tonight. Needs one more point to tie a single-season record. Set it. So he has tied the single-season record for points. He needs one more point to set a new record. He has inched closer. He now needs, 43 more points for a school career points record. He's one more rushing touchdown and one more touchdown of any other. He could set three records tonight, definitely four records before week nine. So first down at 10, Mount Pleasant at the 38-yard line. Carson Coleman turns and hands it to Peyton Hagans, and Hagans, with no gain, hit at the line of scrimmage and dropped. It'll be second and 10.
Xavion Baker along with Caleb Zog on that side, and then for finishing touches, Nolan Simpson makes his dive over the top. So great first stop. Scott, we said a little bit off the air, do you get a feeling that some of that momentum and energy is starting to leave this Mount Pleasant Panther team?
How often did we see it with the Greyhounds through the years where they might start with a drive like that? Here's Hagans off the right side again. Tried to get the corner, saw Simpson coming, stopped, tried to change direction, couldn't because the shark in the water got to the seal, if you will, and dropped him for a loss of one.
Owen Baker, nice job of coming up and forcing the turn back and right into the arms of Nolan Simpson. And then Nolan Simpson trying to do the best he can to get another ball disruption. But the guy who really made it all happen was Xavion Baker. He stands up there and he is taking two guys on, which leaves Simpson free to run the lanes clearly.
So it'll be third down and 11 from the 37-yard line. Coleman going to pass. Pressured. Tried to throw a middle screen to his intended receiver, Dylan Hagans, and it falls incomplete as he was going backward. He threw it short. Incomplete pass. It'll be fourth and 11, and here comes the punt team.
Fun thing about that scheme right there that Coach Webb put in, he allows his front three guys to go ahead and take off, brings his short side linebacker, and then just lets his other three linebackers just play that screen beautifully. And Coleman had no choice but to just throw it at the feet of the receiver.
Greyhounds lead 16-3, early stages, second quarter, and now they have a chance to get the ball back on an upcoming punt. Williams back at his own 30, ready to receive, the play clock at 2. 1-0, they get it off. Hagans approaches, and a low line drive kick hits at the Greyhound 35 and takes a Mount Pleasant roll inside the 20 down to the 14. And you shake your head, but if you're 45, 50 yards deep and the ball hits at 30.
I understand what you're saying.
Catch the ball.
I'm saying there needs, one of the things that Coach Kreck talked about improving on is special teams, and we've got to get better at knowing how deep that our punters punt and putting ourselves in a position to get it on the first bounce or in the air. Absolutely right. Bryant made the right decision to let it roll. But now you're starting at the 15-yard line, 13-yard line. And while I have every confidence that we're going to go in for six and take the rest of the quarter, it'd be a lot easier on my life if they just were able to do it from the 50.
Single set back behind Baker on first and 10 from the 13 is Simpson, but they're going to sweep it on the jet sweep to Williams. Williams gets out of a tackler at the 18, 20, 25, 30. Still on his feet at the 35, spins out of a tackle all the way up to the 44, maybe the 45. They're going to give him the 45-yard line. That's a pickup of 32 yards.
And the thing is, he starts so slow on the motion.
Patient,
and his speed, and
not
his speed
slow.
Is, no, the actual motion is
slow. Oh, I see.
And then he's just so good at accelerating, and then these jump cuts and spins. Just amazing.
Williams now over 100 yards, so that puts him in a position, should he get 100 yards the last 2 weeks of the regular season and the first game of the postseason, he would tie for the most career 100-yard rushing games. He's still on that pace as well. This is number 8 in his career. First down and 10 from the Burlington 45. Turn and a quick hitter to Noah Nixon this time. Nixon with his pink sleeves on Breast Cancer Awareness Night, able to fall into Panther territory. Gain of 6 to the Mount Pleasant 49.
Hagans, Irving, and number 40, Zarek Venghaus on the tackle for the Panthers. You know, when Noah spins, it doesn't really look the same dynamic as when Bryant spins, but the pink sleeves help us to be able to identify him in the play. So,
I want to give a shout-out to the class of 1981 who's celebrating tonight in the deck to the right of the press box. Now there is a flag on the play. 40-year reunion for the class of 1981, being treated to a show tonight so far. With just under 9 minutes remaining in the second quarter, illegal substitution, the call on the Greyhounds. Walks it back into ground territory at the 46.
Gabe Robinson came in to the huddle, but they did not know that Ryan Bowman had to get out, and as they broke the huddle, they had 12 men. So,
I was last year years old when I realized you can't have 11 in the huddle and then pull one out when somebody comes in. The quarterback always has to be to the side.
Right.
Didn't know that. So second down and 9. Here's a sweep on it. No, a fake to Williams and a keeper by Robinson.
Yeah,
who gets caught behind the line for a loss of 3.
Gabe was looking for the fullback. They were looking for a little jet trap, and Noah Nixon or Nolan Simpson wasn't there. So Gabe kind of got caught like, uh-oh, I better do something.
So third down and 12 coming up for the Greyhounds from their own 43. Tight formation on the right hash. I formation behind Baker. Simpson, tail the tandem is Williams. Give to Simpson. Just finds his way, finds a little crease to the left of center. And he works his way from the 43 up to midfield. It looks like they'll give him 7. It'll be 4th and 5.
And you know the Greyhounds aren't going to punt. I mean, this is the beauty of this offense right now. They're in such a mode that you're like, okay, 3rd and 11. And, you know, last year we're like, 3rd and 3. I hope we get it. Yeah. And, you know, 3rd and 10 was like, forget about it. But now we're so comfortable with their offense that we'll just kind of wait and see as Jim Krekel calls that timeout.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say we're going to see the halfback pass, which we haven't seen.
No, you know what we need to see.
For about 4 weeks.
You know what we need to see? We need another Cordero brother to go from the wideout position and run all the way down in the tight end to make everybody jump. That would be one.
Hear me out. The annexation of Puerto Rico.
Yes, we have not run the annexation of Puerto Rico at all this year. I know they practice it throughout the week. I know it's a part
of their Thursday
practice.
Or that play, line up like you're punting, but remember the play that the Colts did where they had the center and then 9 guys like 30 feet away from him to the left?
Yeah.
With 2 guys right on the center?
Yeah.
And then had a guy come up and play quarterback?
So they could
run that play.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be a Bears play.
Yeah, probably. Matt Nagy would run that.
Out of shotgun.
Yeah.
You have a thing for Matt Nagy.
I don't like Matt Nagy.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about Matt. I want to have
it's
a nice Friday
football.
Night. I want to have a nice Friday night. I don't want to talk about Matt Nagy.
And you're preparing for Iowa-Penn State.
Yeah,
let's
I don't want to
get into
about
that
Matt
mode.
Matt Nagy is a tool.
All right, so I'm calling second go here. And then, and don't be surprised if we see Kanye with the ball.
4th and 5 from the midfield stripe. Kanye barks out the signals, turns, and he hands it to Williams on a typical keeper, and he gets 2 to the 48. Turnover on downs to Mount Pleasant.
Wow. Nice job. Nice job by the Mount Pleasant defense. Richard Sosa on the tackle along with number 68, R.J. Dawson, really closed down on those A-gaps to allow the Panthers to get the ball. And you know what? It is a good attempt, but the way our defense is playing, I'm still feeling pretty confident that we're going to keep them out of the end zone before the half.
So 7.5 minutes remaining in the second quarter. Burlington 16, Mount Pleasant 3. Panthers take over on downs at their own 48-yard line. Carson Coleman at quarterback. Peyton Hagins to his left. Hagins got away with a lean. Coleman's going to keep it, trying to follow Hagins. Gets run down from behind. Got one as he was able to pull a couple of black shirts forward. It'll be second and nine, and that was pretty good effort by Carson Coleman.
Yeah, Julius Harris slants to the field side and gets past Dawson and is able to run flat to be able to get his hands on the jersey of Coleman, and the rest of the grounds were there to finish off the play.
Coleman now with seven carries, 30 yards on the night. Came in as the second leading rusher for Mount Pleasant from the quarterback position. Coleman puts it on the hip of Hagins, finally gives it to Hagins, gets hit, stays upright and able to reverse field, bring it near side, inside the 45. We'll see what they give him. Going to be about a yard short of the first down. They will make it 2 yards short. They give him the 44, rather. So that's going to be a gain of about 7 yards.
You know, the momentum may be giant, but Coleman and Hagins, they are playing tough. And we're just tackling just a little too high right now. Julius Harris up too high. We're wrapping up. Good job by Simpson to be able to retrace his tracks and get back and get the stop. Two big downs here for the Panthers.
Almost halfway through the second quarter. Now Mount Pleasant wants to talk things over as they face a third down and two. And kind of a momentum builder, if you will, getting the ball back after stopping Williams on fourth and five. Perhaps, I hate to use this term, but perhaps, you're going well offensively. Perhaps a bit of an arrogant move to go on fourth and five with a simple off tackle to the left. So you stop them. That's momentum right there. And then to have a run like that by Hagins, where he gets hit 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage, but finds a way to get out of the tackle of Harris, comes near side and turns it into a third and short.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the Greyhound defensive huddle. This is a situation where if I'm a coach, I'm telling some of our guys to get some liquid as you are. I don't want you getting cramps later on deep in the fourth quarter as you're calling this game. Have to pull you out. But, on a serious note, making sure these guys stay hydrated, because I know a lot of times they think they're okay. This is a situation where, again, Mount Pleasant doesn't have anything to lose. They know they're not going to the playoffs, so why not go for it and make it a two-play series here?
Peyton Hagins to the right of Carson Coleman once again, third down and two from the 44. Coleman gives it to Hagins. Hagins hit at the line of scrimmage, hog-tied. Now he falls forward as he's pulled forward by one of his offensive linemen, and I think it's officially they're going to say no gain. Yeah, they're going to spot it back at the 44, so no gain on that.
We got to drop our hips a little bit and make sure that we're tackling more in the trunk area. I know Nolan's up there, and he dove again for a little bit of a headlock tackle. It wasn't until Owen Baker came in and got him around the legs. So we've got to make sure we shore up the A-gaps and keep our outside contained strong.
Fourth down and two. Big play for both teams right here from the 44. Harris gets penetration, forces the play outside on a keeper by Coleman. Nolan Simpson finishes it up. It's a loss of two and another turnover on downs on back-to-back possessions. First by the Greyhounds, now by the Panthers, and Burlington takes over.
Trevor Wellington cannot handle Julius Harris's speed. I know when you take a look at that guy, you think, well, okay, what do you mean? Speed, he is just so quick off the ball, Wellington doesn't have a chance. Julius gets in the gap and starts the cavalcade of tackles by the Greyhounds.
So the Greyhounds with the football, 5.5 remaining in the first half, leading by 13, 16-3, and they have the football on their own 45-yard line. Pitch to Williams, plants his foot, turns it upfield, spin move, midfield. Another tremendous run to just get five, but should have been stopped 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and he ends up getting tackled by an unknown player for the Panthers, number 59. No, 69, excuse me. That was Richard Sosa in, but he is
just—he
is bouncing off of guys tonight.
Sosa.
You must have had some extra Spotify time today.
I really didn't.
Okay.
I just things pop into my head, and I'm purely random. I'm like a Spotify playlist. Second and five from midfield. Williams again off the left side. And this time it's a little, and again, it looks so muddled after a gain of maybe two, and then all of a sudden he emerges from the pack and he's got yardage near the first down. They're going to say move the chains. That's a gain of five.
Yeah, and again, Dylan Hagan's in on the stop, and they got guys that are trailing it. And I know you see this, and I don't know if the people at home watching, when you have 11 people within 9 yards of the football, you are saying you're going to have to throw the ball. But, man, Bryant is just really showing his strength and what he did during the offseason to prepare for this season, this deep, still running this strong.
12 carries, 122 yards for Bryant Williams. Simpson got away with a late switch, a late movement as he put his hand in the dirt, gets the quick hitter right up the middle and picks up 12 to the 33.
Nice job. He's got to come off a little bit, a little extra stretch in his groin as he's reaching for, as you see there on the tape, and a lay on that injured ankle by the Mount Pleasant tackler. So we got to get him off, kind of get him some rest here. And again, you know, him being gone the last couple weeks has really given Trey Maxwell a chance to grow. So I'd have
and
no
Noah
problem
Nixon.
Yeah.
And Noah Nixon, for that matter. First and 10 from the 33, I formation once again, quick hitter Noah Nixon off the left side. He just puts his head down, squares up those shoulders, and he picks up 12 to the 21.
This is so good. This offensive line, once again, you've got Morrison, you've got Shulka, you've got Julian Perez-Hall, you've got Julius Harris, you've got Gunnar Short. Those guys are back along with your tight ends, Alex Fawcett and Jackson Carlson, along with Caden Shizzle. They're back, backup guys, so it's good to see these guys in rhythm again.
First and 10 from the 21. Baker squats, gets the snap. Again, Nixon, quick hitter. Hits one tackler at the 20, sheds him, gets to the 17. A gain of four, and for the third time tonight, the Greyhounds have reached the Matt Rinker State Farm red zone.
You know, it's interesting as there's a time on the field for an injured Panther, and we'll get that number in person, whoever it is, to you in a little bit. But Scott, you wonder if Coach Kreckel is calling some of these plays as design runs. We know it's the option, the triple option, but I wonder if he's telling his offensive back, saying that we're going to give Bryant a couple plays off and we're going to run fullback, we're going to run quarterback counter, and then give Bryant the ball just so he can catch his breath a little bit. So,
this drive has been purely Nolan Simpson and Noah Nixon as they've gotten 28 yards. I take that back. Williams did have a couple carries back in minus territory, a couple of big runs, five-yarders where he was hit behind the line of scrimmage. I stand corrected.
Excuse my lean, everybody. Just checking on injuries. And Julius Harris is out catching his breath. And it looks like Nolan Simpson's back in, and he's good to go.
You so. Said excuse my lean, so I tried to do a – they called it a gangsta lean back in the day for the camera. Yeah, like that.
I'm sorry, everybody.
What's up, everybody?
Yep.
Yeah. That's what they called it, gangsta lean.
I know. I was still teaching then.
Okay.
You were still in high school. Family fun day here at the well.
Second down and six coming up from the 17-yard line. I formation still in focus right now. Simpson back into the ballgame. Baker takes one step back. He's going to keep it right up the gut. 10-5, dives into the end zone.
They're out of ammunition.
There we go. Touchdown, Greyhounds.
This is the second time this game that Chase Irving has lost his helmet. You see it on the replay, number 42 for the Panthers. He dives out to try to get somewhere, and he gets smacked, and his helmet comes a-flying off.
First carry of the night for Baker. It's a touchdown from 17 yards out, and it's 22-3.
Does a nice job of just accelerating through those two tacklers.
So the Greyhounds will once again go for two. This could be a record-setting carry on a two-point conversion for Bryant Williams. He has 14 points tonight. I take that back. He'll come within one if he score here. But Baker's going to take it himself. He goes into the end zone. Thought about pitching it to Williams around the right side. Instead, just buries his shoulders and his head and moves forward. And it's 24-3. 3:08 remaining in the first half. The Greyhounds by 21 on KBR and KBR.com.
At Ryan Schmitz Flooring America, we are big fans of local sports, and we're proud of the athletes who have the courage and the drive to compete. We know success on the field or court takes great teamwork, trust, and dedication from all your teammates and coaches. We live by those same qualities here at Ryan Schmitz. From our team to yours, best wishes in the games to come. We'll be rooting for you. Family owned and operated and part of your community for over 85 years. Ryan Schmitz Flooring America on Roosevelt Avenue in Burlington, where friends send friends.
Your child got hurt in the last game and you're worried. Is it just a bruise or something more serious? Find out at the Saturday Morning Sports Medicine Clinic at Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center Orthopedics. No appointments, just answers. Orthopedic providers evaluate injured athletes who must be accompanied by a parent. Athletic trainers discuss follow-up care. Bring your insurance card to the Saturday Morning Sports Medicine Clinic at Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center Orthopedics in West Burlington. 8 till 9 every week during the fall sports season.
Xavion Baker has it back up on the team. We're about ready to get back underway. The approach and the boot. Low end over end kick. Going to hit and be taken at the 12 by the return man who was way deep for Mount Pleasant. Still on his feet. 35-40. 45-50. Breaks between a couple of tacklers for Burlington. That's Isaiah Albright on the return all the way into Burlington territory to the 44-yard line. That's a return of 44 yards.
Just a lot of guys on this kickoff team not really breaking down and getting themselves ready for a tackle. Over-pursuing, got to keep theirself on the inside hip. And good return for the Panthers here. Good kick by Xavier, really, though.
So the Panthers trailing 24-3. Yeah, that was one of those low-line drive howitzer shots, but it was still end-over-end. It wasn't a knuckleball or anything like that.
Outkick his coverage, maybe?
Perhaps. So first down and 10 from the Greyhound 44. Coleman gets the snap in the shotgun. He's scrambling. Wanted to go left. Now he goes back right. Throws back across his body. Undershot his intended receiver. That was going to be Hagen. But it falls incomplete. Always tough to make that throw. You're rolling right as a right-handed quarterback, but then you throw back left.
Yeah, it's a very difficult throw. For our defense, Scott, we've got to keep backside rush lane integrity. Caleb Zog coming at a high rate of speed is coming inside out on Coleman, and that allows Coleman to dip outside and has a lot more room to run. And if he would have decided to run, probably would have been able to pick up 8-9 yards.
Second and 10 from the 44. Trips to the left side. Coleman just going to tuck it and run. Design keeper for the quarterback who gets 5 to the 39.
Coleman, Maxwell, and Carlson again on the tackle for the Greyhounds. Just really that's what your offense is really kind of boiled down to right now is how can we get Coleman into a lane and into the second level. Hagens has had some success, but it really has been due to a lack of poor tackling by the Greyhounds more than anything else.
2:20 remaining as the clock rolls on. Third down and 5 from the 39. Fake to Peyton Hagens, keeper by Coleman. He's got the first down, gets a block in front of him. He's wiggle-wormed his way down inside the 30, down to the 27. A nice pickup on third and 5 of 12 yards for the quarterback.
Great job again by Gabe Robinson blocking, being blocked downfield, but not giving up that edge so that Carlo Martinez-Hale can make a great hustle tackle from the backside.
Gain of 11 officially as they spotted at the 28-yard line. 10 carries, 45 yards for Carson Coleman. Mount Pleasant trying to cut into this 21-point deficit. Peyton Hagens gets it on the delay. Hit in the backfield by Carlo Martinez-Hale. And then some of his friends showed up. Phil Phillips was there. And that's a loss of 3 back to the 31.
They must have some extra slippery stuff on their jerseys because it seems like every time we are right in the backfield, they find a way to scoot off of that stuff. Good job by Trey coming in to finish that thing off.
Second and 13, ball outside the 30-yard line now. Final 1:10 of the first half here in week 7, 24-3, Greyhounds on top. Two touchdown runs by Bryant Williams, one by Kanye Baker. And 3 2-point conversions. Coleman trying to go over the middle. Had a man open, except at the last minute, dropping back in coverage. I believe that's Phil Phillips.
Nope, Trey Maxwell.
Oh, Trey Maxwell.
Those numbers are hard to see, but I've had Trey in class before, and I know his stride. So nice job of dropping, getting that at a high point, and knocking it down. And landing on that turf's got to hurt just a bad bit. So
ball was intended for Carter Amos. So the incompletion will stop the clock at 55 seconds. It'll be third and 13 now at the 31. Play clock is ticked down to 10. Mount Pleasant still in the huddle. They send three to the right side, actually two and a wing back to that side. Play clock at 2 now. Coleman gets it. He's going to roll right, rolling right, rolling right, past the line of scrimmage, through it. Should have been a penalty for going past the line of scrimmage. Again, wanted Amos, knocked out of the air by a Greyhound. It'll be 4th and 13.
Jackson Carlson, so close to having a pick right there. Look at him step in.
I was too busy watching. I guess he wasn't as close to going over the line of scrimmage as I thought he was.
Well, as close as you can. And again, Caleb Zog's playing a heck of a game, and he's giving a lot of great effort.
That was Owen Baker, I think. That was 10 in looking at the replay.
Really?
Yeah.
Because usually white gloves is fake, so.
Well, I think it was a double numeral. It was not number
well,
four.
Well, if that, it might have been Alex Fawcett, who is the other safety back there. So, but what I was getting to, Scott, is that Caleb Zog's playing a great game, and he's given a lot of hustle, but he's coming too flat, and that's allowing Coleman to get around that edge. If he would just get as deep as the quarterback, that puts Coleman in a lot more peril about how do I get this play off. Do I got to plant my foot and go up and run, or do I got to let it go just a little bit earlier?
Well, don't forget to join us once the first half is completed for the Case Buying Community Credit Union halftime show. We'll usually, as we do, step away for about 7 minutes, and when we come back, hopefully we'll have some scores, especially of the games that we talked about in the pregame show, games of interest from around the area, the two other games in Class 4A District 3, and all other games across all districts for other local teams. Hopefully Burlington goes in with at least a 21-point lead, if not more. Let's get a turnover on downs right here, and then Bryant Williams breaks his first big one of the night.
Yeah, that would be fun. I'd like to see him snap off a 75-yarder. That would be very helpful for us.
So fourth down, 13. Final minute of the half. Trips to the right side. Coleman, quick screen pass to the right side. That's Peyton Higgins. Not nearly enough yardage. He did pick up 5, but he needed 13. So on downs, the Greyhounds take over at their own 26-yard line.
I'm not sure what that was all about. That couldn't have been his first read. But good news for us, we get the ball back. And, hey, we're about 75 yards away from touchdown. So, Brian, just do what I tell you to do and get the touchdown here. Okay? Appreciate that.
So we'll see what Burlington does. They have the ball with 44 seconds left. Typical formation, I formation set from their own 26-yard line. Play action fake to Williams. Baker going to throw it, and he's got a man wide open behind the coverage. That's Alex Fawcett, who's going to take it to the house. 74 yards. Baker to Fawcett, and it's 30-3.
You've got to admit that feels extremely good. Those two guys have been so close the entire year. Bake does a nice job of just setting his feet, short stride, short arm delivery, catches Alex in stride, and I'm going to say, Adam, that right there, Alex looks faster than you. But I appreciate the cookies that your wife made for us.
So it's 30-3, 74-yard pitch and catch from Baker to Fawcett. And the Greyhounds will go for two again, and this is not, again, rubbing anybody's nose in it. This is because there's no backup kicker to Brian Velasquez. Baker under center, wants to throw it again. Looking corner of the end zone. Now he's going to tuck it and try and run it in himself. Plants his foot in the ground, turns upfield, and he's into the end zone.
No flags.
Kanye Baker for his second two-point conversion keeper, and it's 32-3, back in 1 minute on KBUR and KBUR.com.
Life can get expensive. Case Spine's got a loan for it. A new couch?
Case Spine has a loan for that.
New windows?
Case Spine's got a loan for that.
a tropical vacation.
Case Spine definitely has a loan for that.
The finishing touches for a new basement man cave.
Case Spine's got a loan for that too. No matter what you're looking for, Case Spine probably has a loan for it. Apply now in person or online at casebind.com. Case Spine, it's where you belong.
Here at Pizza Ranch, we have a PhD in chickenology. We know why the chicken crossed the road, and we know what part of the chicken tenders come from, the delicious part. So it should be no surprise that we've engineered the country's best, juiciest, all-white, meatiest chicken tenders, now available for carryout and delivery in 5, 8, and 12-piece boxes, served with our new chicken dipper sauce. Pizza Ranch, we know chicken.
Come to Pizza Ranch in Burlington for their lunch and dinner buffet. For delivery or to go, call 754-5555.
Pizza Ranch.
Back here at Bracewell Stadium for the final 34 seconds of the first half. Burlington now on top by the score of 32-3. And we are on the precipice of yet another running clock. Grands will get the ball to start the second half as well, as John likes to call it off the air, the New England Patriot way.
You bet. You get a score, get to halftime, and you get the ball back.
Now a squib kick hit by one of the up men for Mount Pleasant, and that was Chase Irving, who actually made the catch of the first kickoff of the night. Had to retreat about 5 yards, and Mount Pleasant will have it at their own 32 with just 29 ticks left, and I got to believe they take a knee.
And good job, Jackson Carlson, on the tackle for the Greyhounds here. Yeah, Scott, I don't know. Maybe they just run a simple dive, run Coleman in, but you know that they're going in and they've got to discuss, all right, we can't have these breakdowns. We've got to find a way to stop Bryant, but we can't let our pass defense, I mean, because that's going to be a black eye to know that we threw a 75-yard touchdown pass as much as we run the ball.
Well, you got to do what you got to do. You know, sometimes getting hammered the year before, it sticks. Here's a lateral pass to Hagans. Peyton Hagans wanted to throw it downfield. Instead was dragged down from behind. Can't tell on the far side who made the tackle, but either way, officially that's a loss of 5 on a run by Peyton Hagans.
That's Caleb Zog along with Owen Baker. So got in there. And that is great film study and preparation by this Greyhound defense. They knew they had this play in the book, and they had it well covered. And Bake and Caleb were right there on the spot to take the tackle.
And that'll do it for the first half here at Bracewell Stadium after an opening drive that took almost 8 minutes by Mount Pleasant, resulting in a field goal. It's been all Greyhounds, 32 consecutive points, 4 consecutive possessions leading to touchdowns, and it's 32-3 at halftime here in Week 7. We're going to take a break for 7 minutes. When we come back, it'll be time for the Case Spine Community Credit Union halftime show. Grounds by 29 on KBUR and KBUR.com.
Are you in on it?
I'm in on it.
Yep, I'm definitely in on it.
Just got in on it last week.
Yeah, took us by surprise. But we're definitely in on it now.
The it these people are in on is the surprisingly great rates for auto insurance from State Farm.
Can I get in on it?
Absolutely. Just contact your local State Farm agent today, and you can get in on some surprisingly great rates, too. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Save big with Matt Rinker, Burlington's new State Farm agent, across from Community Field on Mount Pleasant Street in Burlington.
This year has changed the way we all live our lives. But one thing that will not change are the great relationships with your hometown bank. I'm Connor Holzen, your real estate loan officer with Danville State Savings Bank. With your good credit, you can count on us to assist you with all your home buying needs. At the Danville State Savings Bank, when you're ready, so are we. Just give me a call. Offices in Danville, New London, and online at danvillebank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
May have been struck months ago. I'm Lisa Lacera, Fox News. That's what the Coast Guard is saying about a pipeline off the coast of Southern California that began leaking oil last weekend, spilling thousands of gallons of crude into the ocean.
It's very possible that the initial strike just deflected the pipeline with no fracture, and then additional stresses added later by another incident or the geological events, you know, maybe that either increased the fracture or caused the whole thing.
Captain Jason Neubauer. The leak forced several beaches to close due to contamination. The Coast Guard says about 5,500 gallons have been recovered from the water. President Biden finding a bright spot in today's lower-than-expected jobs report.
Today's report has the unemployment rate down to 4.8%, a significant improvement from when I took office and a sign that our recovery is moving forward, even in the face of a COVID pandemic.
The Labor Department says 194,000 jobs were created in September, far less than what analysts had predicted. The House panel investigating the January 6th Capitol riot is warning of contempt charges for a former aide to former President Trump.
Former White House strategist Steve Bannon says he will not cooperate with the House Select Committee setting executive privileges of former President Trump. Committee Chairman Democrat Benny Thompson and Vice Chair Republican Liz Cheney say they fully expect witnesses to comply with demands for both documents and testimony and will swiftly consider advancing a criminal contempt of Congress referral. In the same statement, the two committee leaders say President Trump's former chief of staff Mark Meadows and Kash Patel, a former Pentagon official, are so far engaging with the select committee. On Capitol Hill, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
This is the White House says President Biden will not use executive privilege to keep the panel from obtaining records it has requested from former President Trump. America is listening to Fox News.
Did you know the arrow in Amazon's logo represents A to Z? Maybe the My Computer Career logo should represent unemployed to employed. Ryan was out of work when he started classes in March. In September, he started his IT career working for Amazon, making more money than he ever thought possible. Here's a prime opportunity. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice, be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Partly cloudy skies in the forecast tonight. A low down to 61 degrees. Should be a partly sunny, warmer Saturday. A high up to 81. Mostly cloudy Saturday night. A low down to 68. Then Sunday, partly sunny up to 84. Mostly cloudy Sunday night. A 50% chance of showers. Low to 64. Monday, mostly cloudy, showers 80% likely in the afternoon, a high to 73. Tuesday should be just plain sunny skies, a high to 74.
At Bob Dodd's Insurance, they recognize the value of teamwork and believe that hard work pays off both in sports and in life. They wish all the athletes competing this season good luck and encourage you to put your all into practice today to achieve victory tomorrow. Trust in teamwork. Trust in tomorrow. Contact Bob Dodd's Insurance, your local Grinnell Mutual agent at 319-392-8311 today for all your insurance needs. Trust in tomorrow is a registered trademark of Grinnell Mutual Reinsurance Company.
Now is the time to finish all of your painting projects. Hi, this is Nick with Diamond Vogel Paints. Whether you are a contractor trying to finish your projects before winter sets in, or a homeowner reviving your interior spaces before the holidays, Diamond Vogel has everything that you're looking for in a paint supplier. Ease of application, performance and durability, perfect color, and exceptional service. Stop in for our fall decorating event going on now, Diamond Vogel, the miracle of paint, located at 3200 Division Street, Burlington.
Discover new tastes, celebrate traditions, and make new ones at Queso's Mexican Bar and Grill. Queso's features fresh ingredients and distinct spices that will tantalize your taste buds. Their menu is a delicious fusion of Tex-Mex and traditional Mexican recipes, as well as signature handcrafted margaritas, all served with a smile. Explore new flavors or enjoy the traditional Mexican dishes you already love. Dine in or carry out, there's something for everyone at Queso's Mexican Bar and Grill in Burlington. Go Greyhounds!
Back here at Bracewell Stadium, and Kara, we need you to go hot for a minute. You ready? You ready to go on live with us? All right, so here it is. Would you say the reaction is more warranted to jump out of your shorts if, A, after a touchdown, when the cannon always goes off, John Flaherty jumps because he I guess, didn't expect it, or B, me, without looking at it, has a grasshopper end up on my pinky, and I thought it was a wasp at first look, so I jumped out of my shorts. Which one is more warranted?
I like them both, but maybe yours a little better.
Yeah, mine's better because it's more warranted.
No, she's laughing at you.
No, she's laughing at you, saying that if anybody should have been jumping, it was me. You knew it was coming, John.
Like some poisonous animal?
I'm laughing at both of you.
You can't be diplomatic about this. I'm sorry. I hate to make it this tough on you on the first night, but...
We go through so many of these engineers.
Scott.
I deserve to jump more than you did. You knew it was coming, John.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, of course, it is time for the Case Spine Community Credit Union halftime show.
Are you not even going to thank her?
Thank you, Kara.
You are very welcome.
We do have some scores from around the area. We'll get to the one that is impactful in our district. We did not find an Iowa City Liberty at Fort Madison score, but we did get a halftime score in Clinton where the Lancers lead the River Kings. Surprised by the low scoring at 10-0, North Scott leading Clinton, given how both teams have looked against Burlington.
Well, I got to tell you that, you know, Kevin Tippett does a lot of good things, and sometimes when you know you're going to come into a game and be successful, you may be resting some players to get ready for the weeks ahead, and especially when you have numbers against the Clinton team that is reduced in their roster.
So at Cardinal up in Eldon tonight, Pella Christian with a 28-8 lead at the half. New London rebounding nicely tonight as they are taking it to Iowa Valley, shutting out Iowa Valley by the score of 34-0. That game also at the half. Another shutout, this time in Keosauqua, where Van Buren is trailing Pleasantville by the score of 38-0. Sigourney Kyoto at the half, leading Central Decatur on the road 24-3. Wapello at home tonight. The Indians taking care of business at half against Al Burnett, 35-12, your score in Wapello. And on the other side of town, West Burlington Notre Dame, as we talked about in the pregame show, still looking for its first victory of the year. They trail Grinnell, the Tigers 42, and the Falcons nothing. One last score, Solon, as expected, taking care of Fairfield tonight, also by an identical score of 42-0.
Yeah, so lots of action going on around the state, and of course you'll have that wrap-up after the game as we go to our closeout show, so make sure you stick around so you can hear all of the scores that come around the state from all of the classes.
Well, the Greyhounds had five possessions in the first half. They scored on four of them, turned it over on downs on the fifth. Your first half statistics, Bryant Williams, 12 carries, 122 yards, two touchdowns, which means he has tied the mark for the most single-season rushing touchdowns for a running back at Burlington High School. Also has tied the mark for the most overall touchdowns, now 22 on the campaign for Williams. One more touchdown, he breaks both those records if it comes on the ground. Four carries, 43 yards for Nolan Simpson. Noah Nixon from the same fullback position, three carries, 22 yards. Kanye Baker, one carry, a touchdown run of 17 yards, 21 carries, 201 yards on the ground for the Greyhounds, 9.6 per carry. Through the air, even better. One for 74 yards as Baker hit Alex Fawcett on a 74-yard touchdown play, 275 yards on 22 plays of offense for the Greyhounds. For Mount Pleasant, very much stifled by the Burlington defense tonight. 10 carries, 45 yards for Carson Coleman at quarterback. Peyton Hagans has been held in check. 14 carries, just 17 yards. Overall, 24 carries, 62 yards on the ground through the air. Coleman is 1 for 6 for 5 yards and an interception. That lone completion to Peyton Hagans. So Hagans has accounted for, of the 67 yards, 22 of those. So, this has been kind of what we expected for Burlington tonight. It did not start as such. We have to give Mount Pleasant a ton of credit. They took the opening kickoff. They go 7 minutes and 46 seconds before Burlington even sees the offensive side of the football. They get a field goal, but then after that, bang, bang, turnover on down, bang, bang, four touchdowns out of five possessions, and it's 32-3 here at halftime.
You know, and it's one of those situations right now is – you know, as Burlington gets the ball back here to start the second half, the Greyhounds can really put a nail in this coffin with an opening score for the second half. And then you got to start making some decisions because you do have some kids who are banged up. The situation is you don't have a lot of kids to bail out those guys who need a little bit of rest. So you got to play some smart football here. You do got to give credit to the Mount Pleasant Panthers. Thought they had a great game plan. They just struggled to get guys blocked up front. Again, our team speed is just too much for this Mount Pleasant Panther team. So it really needs to be a situation where we get ourselves where we dominate the rest of the game. And I hate to say it, but you want to get this clock moving. You want to get it to a running clock for the preservation of your players primarily. And this is nothing against Coach Striegel and the rest of the Mount Pleasant Panthers. It's just a situation where you're playing for your playoff life, and this is an opportunity to kind of get some of your starters off the field and get their feet up and get ready for next week when you're moving up to Iowa City Liberty. Saying that, anything can happen in high school football. Things can change. These guys are coaches for a reason, and they make adjustments, and you just don't know what can happen. But we know pretty confidently that we're going to be able to control the line of scrimmage here through the second half on both sides of the ball.
So I'm updating these marks for Bryant Williams. So here we are, Bryant Williams now second all time in terms of a season rushing total, 14 unofficially. 1,499 yards puts him in second place. Taven Harris, now the only man standing between Bryant and the top of the list at 1,897. So 398 yards to go for Bryant Williams to become tied at the top with Taven Harris. Williams has not been able to move into the top four as Dean Stoller still leads the career rushing total by 6 yards. So if he gets a 7-yard run on his first carry, he'll move into fourth. If he somehow gains 35 yards, he moves into third place. It's going to take a while to get to Taven Harris's mark of 24-15 to move into second. That's still over 400 yards away. On the season, rushing receiving yards, 1,560 now for Bryant. He's in second place all time, only to Harris for a single season. Career rushing and receiving yards from scrimmage, he is now into second place in that behind Taven Harris with 2,334. Total yards from scrimmage, which also includes his halfback passes from earlier in the year, now at 1,574 on the season. That puts him third all-time behind Taven Harris and Jesse Heeland, a quarterback from 1998. Total yards from scrimmage in a career, now 2,348. That puts him in fifth place behind Sean Richard, Taven Harris, Jesse Heeland, and LT Beck, a name we haven't talked about in a little while. Points-wise, now with 134 points on the season, second all time, he needs 3 points to take over the top spot. Dean Stoller with 136, the most points in one season for a Greyhound player. And in his career, Bryant Williams now with 192 points, 28 rushing touchdowns, 2 receptions, 1 on special teams, the kickoff return from the opener against Washington, 3 2-point conversions. Were he to get 18 more points tonight, he will tie himself for second. That mark still held by Dean Stoller with 234. That's 42 points in front of Bryant Williams. So, a lot of stuff can change hands tonight in terms of Bryant Williams. With one rushing touchdown, we'll take over at least 3 records. And with significant yardage, can also continue to move up the yardage chart.
So just think, if Bryant would have had 2 complete years,
oh,
what kind of numbers he could have put up. And so it just kind of speaks to the type of player he is. We haven't even talked about that he's done this fewer attempts
in
than
his
any
career,
of his other backs.
In his career, he's played, this is his 17th game.
Right.
So 7 this year, 2 last year. He played 8 as a sophomore. He's done this in 278 attempts. So, for example, in his career, 2,013 yards on 278. Taven Harris took 120 more carries to gain 302 more yards.
Right.
It tells you how talented this young man is. And I remember that season with Taven Harris, we were astonished because he really didn't the breakaway speed that Bryant Williams does, but he got all the tough yards.
Oh, he went inside.
And I remember week 9 against Cedar Rapids, Washington, he put up a huge night against a Cougar Cedar Rapids Kennedy against a Cougar defense, 45 carries.
Right.
I mean, it was an incredible night. Two completely different styles, but two tremendous backs in the last 5 years.
And I'm going to bring it back to our offensive line, because we had good offensive linemen in those years with Taven Harris. The style of offense did not fit what those guys could do up front. And we had this conversation about players and play calling and offenses. Adam Glasgow, Joey Hess-Hoy, Charlie Walsh have done a fantastic job of teaching the system of getting into guys, widening out your base, moving your feet, instead of what you see in so many teams in high school football, where you stand up, you get a hand on one guy, a hand on another guy, and hope that another guy will slide in that inside-outside zone scheme. And that allows us to be able to do some great things offensively. So I give a lot of credit to Coach Crackle for choosing what a lot of people would have said, an offense you don't want to bring. We want to have something a little flashier. But it has truly paid dividends for this Greyhound team this year.
I told him at the beginning of the year after 2 games, I was a skeptic last year. I said it to you off the air. I'm always positive on the air. But there was nothing about that offense last year that gave you any indication this is what it would be capable of. And it really goes to show you without, let's give a lot of credit to the offensive line, but when you have a dynamic tailback, makes this offense hum. Now,
and you need that.
The question is moving forward, Bryant Williams is a senior. I don't want to look forward to 2022 yet, but
then
who's the next in line as Kreckel develops this longer and longer?
We'll talk some about that later as the Panthers are set to kick off.
That'll do it for the Case Spine Community Credit Union halftime show as we get the third quarter underway. A boot taken on the run by Kanye Baker at the 19. Across the 20, 25, stops at the 30, reverses field, 35, and is going to be hogtied and driven down at the 36-yard line, a return of 17 yards. That's where the Greyhounds will start the second half, leading 32-3.
Levi Graver on the tackle for the Panthers there. And so, Scott, as they're getting ready to bring out this first series of offense, you brought up the 2001 Greyhound offensive team. That was the first year we put in this fancy new offense called the Jet Sweep.
Jet Sweep.
You know, and that caught people by storm. And so it's just a matter of who you have, because the year behind that, you know, we had Marquise Lewis who could run a 4.540. The next year we had the same type of back who ran a 5.440. It doesn't bring the same results.
Got to tell you something after this play. I formation set, first play of the second half. Straight give to Williams, who just takes it off the left side. He's got 3 to the 39. Alex Fawcett, according to his father, Adam, who texted me, he refutes your statement that he has his father's speed. Adam, and I quote, said,
he doesn't have his
Alex
father's
doesn't
speed.
Have my speed.
That's right. He doesn't. Well, Alex is faster.
Oh, man, at
you
least
know
wait
me.
Until Adam
to
loses my number.
Just want to stir the pot.
Because he's going to be all over me. You're
They've
the one
got
who's
my
stirring
number.
It.
They've got my all number. Right. They know where they can find me.
Pickup of 3, second down and 7 from the 39. Once again, I formation behind Baker. Baker going to keep it after a fake to Simpson. Off the right side, everybody's looking at Bryant. He goes the other way. And a shoestring tackle at midfield prevents Baker from maybe taking it to the house. As it is, he gets to the 47-yard line. And a pickup of, where did they start, John? I don't remember.
I don't remember either. I'm looking at Wyatt Witsmall, who has a finger on the shoelace of Kanye Baker. Kanye goes to the house to get us up to that 35-point total.
34-yard line to the 47. We'll call it a gain of 19 for Kanye Baker.
Again, I think these are some designed runs to kind of give Bryant a little bit of a breather.
First and 10 in Panther territory. Here's a pitch to Williams coming left side. Puts his foot in the ground, reverses field. Now he's going all the way across the field. 35-30. Outruns the guy on the corner. 25-20. 15 finally shoved out of bounds. Takes it from the 47 down to the 10. A gain of 37 in the Greyhounds once again are in the Matt Rinker State Farm red zone. And there's a Panther down on the field.
Jacob Richmond. Is it? I'm making sure. Yep, Jacob Richmond, the last guy on the field. Just diving to push him out, get him off balance. And so We've got an injured Panther down on the ground, and we will let you know who it is once
I'll get my trusty binoculars out.
I thought it was one of the interior linemen who grabbed his ankle. And when you're not moving,
68.
That is R.J. Dawson, their offensive lineman, defensive lineman, who is a big fella. Looked like he grabbed his left ankle, and it does not look good for him.
Sorry, I don't mean they put us on the camera, and I'm a ham. So, I mean, I should have more respect than that because the guy's on the
I was paying attention to the game. So, hey, everything's a dollar. I'll be right back.
R.J. Dawson.
And that's
on
what people
feet.
Are doing in this world. They're waiting until things are a dollar, and then they're going to rush to concession stand.
And Dawson, unfortunately, not able to put a ton of weight on his left leg.
Yeah, you hate to see that. You hate to see anybody get hurt that severely. Has played really a solid game, and it looks to be his left ankle. So we hope he's all right. Get himself back.
Not walking with much of a limp. He's getting help off the field. God, I feel bad. I really do. I'm sitting here mugging it for the camera. Oh, man.
But you're loving life, and you need to live in the moment.
R.J. Dawson and his family an apology. I truly do. That doesn't sit well with me. First down and 10. First down and goal from just inside the 10. Pitch to Williams coming near side. Could this be a record breaker? It certainly will. He's going to waltz into the end zone. Touchdown, and you've got a new record holder at the top of several records in Burlington High School football history. That 10-yard touchdown run makes Bryant Williams the school's single-season points record holder. It also makes him the single-season rushing touchdown leader and the total touchdown leader in Burlington history. Congratulations, Bryant Williams. My guess is you don't know any of that, but it's important to me, and it's important to anybody who's a Burlington football fan. You deserve every kudo you get. Congratulations, Bryant Williams. That's just three records that fell. Many more potentially to come.
Amazing what he'll hold when he walks off this field for the final time. And again, the Greyhounds are going for two, not because they're trying to rub it in, but because they do not have a kicker.
Myers, a keeper right up the middle to Nolan Simpson, who's untouched until he hits the gray in the end zone that says Burlington. 10:26 remaining in the third quarter. Burlington 40 and Mount Pleasant 3. Back in 1 minute on KBUR and KBUR.com.
Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, the professional staff at Standard of Beaverdale can help you every step of the way. Doors, roofing, siding, windows, decks, electrical, and of course, lumber. Standard of Beaverdale will help you with the planning and design no matter what project you're working on, and they will deliver. Need a new home appliance? Standard of Beaverdale. Check out the new Speed Queen washer and dryer. Enjoy the game. Standard of Beaverdale, located on Beaverdale Road in West Burlington, Iowa.
For over 30 years, Courtesy Door's reputation has been built by the quality of their products and the satisfaction of their customers. Garage doors, openers, or parts, Courtesy Door has what you need. They offer residential and commercial products from Rainer and Clopay, also specializing in large-scale agricultural and commercial doors. To schedule a service call, get a quote, or learn more about the area's favorite door company, go to CourtesyDoor.com or stop by at 2231 James Avenue in Mount Pleasant.
Carries, buck 72, and three touchdowns for Bryant Williams. And 10:26 remaining in the third quarter. We'll have a continuous clock until which time the Panthers cut it inside 35. Here's a squib kick taken at the 40-yard line and just fallen upon by Chase Irving for the third time tonight. He's been a kick returner. I don't think he's done that role all too much for Mount Pleasant.
Guy with a neck roll usually doesn't turn out to be the kick returner.
Guys with neck rolls are cool.
I don't like the new neck rolls. I like
give me the old timer, the Scott Studwell type. That's
well,
like
Matsui, where you got to tie it way up.
But here's the thing, though. Unless you're Mike Alstott as a fullback, you're really even a neck roll. Give me Mike Alstott. He had the huge neck roll, but give me a linebacker with a neck roll. Wilbur Marshall, Otis Wilson, those guys. Those were bad dudes. Here's Coleman giving it to a new tailback into the game for the first time tonight. He had a kick return earlier, but that's Isaiah Albright with a nice carry up to the 47, a gain of 7.
I think you're going to see a steady diet of this from the Panthers as Alex Fawcett and I believe Owen Baker come back in to make the tackle for the Greyhounds. So I think they're going to try to play conservative, keep the ball away from Baker. Bryant Williams.
And Nolan Simpson tried to time the snap count and got caught in no man's land. Violated the neutral zone. That'll give Mount Pleasant a first down. That'll take it to the Greyhound 48.
You know, the thing I do like about Nolan is when he does something like that, there's so much confidence, it's like, it doesn't matter. I'll just come back in and make a play somewhere else. So he just kind of shook that thing off.
Snap to Coleman, give to Albright, this time off the left side, and Isaiah Albright has come in and run the ball pretty hard these first couple of carries. He's got 6 to the Greyhound 42.
It would be better if I told you who did not make the tackle for the Greyhounds on that. Isaiah Albright is really, he is not lightening up on anything here. He's going to give his best effort. And again, you know, we don't have a lot of Greyhounds to rotate in to give breaks. We don't go three deep, so you might see a couple of two deep guys sneak in here in just a little bit.
Two left, one right for Mount Pleasant. Second down and 4. Keeper by Coleman, and Carson Coleman spun down at the 41 after a gain of just 1. Coleman now 11 carries, 46 yards.
Zog and Martinez Hale on the stop for the Greyhounds. We have another
Panther down.
Panther down, and again, this is not something that the Mount Pleasant Panther squad needs to have. Like I said last week, they only dressed 27 guys. Now they got 36 in uniform tonight, and Scott, just some good news for you. R.J. Dawson did make it back on the field, so whatever ailed him earlier a few moments ago, he seems to be back at full speed.
And Trevor Wellington,
yeah,
just getting to his feet.
And Trevor's got a set of knee braces on both sides, and he is not putting any weight on that left side. So, and RJ is the one helping him off the field at this point. So, again, you know, you don't want to have any of your kids hurt, especially if they would be seniors. You know, you just don't want them to end their career that way. And so Trevor's trying to put some weight on that leg, but it just is very ginger. Seems to be getting better as we go.
Well, and that follows the pattern that R.J. Dawson did. He was helped off until he got to about the far hash and then was able to put normal weight,
yeah,
and seemed to straighten up.
So it just kind of might be like a stinger.
And sometimes, we've all gotten hurt, not necessarily injured. You get scared. You're like, I don't know if I can put anything on this.
Scared.
Yeah. I mean, you don't jump out of your shorts like somebody shoots a cannon off or a grasshopper hops on your finger.
Okay, good. I was just making sure.
But you get scared.
Cover that.
You're like, can I really put weight on this knee? I don't
sure.
know.
Especially with the impact.
Happened to me on roller skates 7.5 years ago. Yeah, we'll talk some other time. Third down and 3 from the 41. Here's Albright. No, fake to Albright. And Coleman's going to take it inside the 40 to the 39. Gain of 2. Still be a yard short of the first down. It'll be 4th and 1.
Julius Harris and Anthony Morrison. And now we have Coleman who is down. And Scott, he has taken a ton of hits tonight. Just an absolute ton of hits. And he seems to be grabbing his midsection like the wind got knocked out of him. So, unfortunately, this is helpful to the Greyhounds because this provides a little bit of free time out and getting your breath.
And he took his helmet off, too.
And really good to see the Greyhounds taking in some fluid here. We definitely do not want to cramp up here because those, you know, a lot of people think those cramps are just like a short-time thing. Those are a 2 or 3 day deal if you don't take care of them correctly.
So we're going to step away for a minute as they attend to Carson Coleman at the 40-yard line. When we come back, it'll be 4th down and 1, maybe give you an update of Coleman's diagnosis, as we can tell from the press box anyway. 40-3, Greyhounds on top, back in 1 minute on KBOR.
Summer has stuck around a little longer than we thought, but I'm ready for some fall weather. Hi, this is Steve from Ritter's Landscaping Home and Garden Center. And with our temperatures starting to cool and nighttime coming earlier each day, we know fall is here. With fall weather comes the beauty of brilliant fall color on our trees and shrubs. It also means it's time for a tree sale. Unlike many merchants this year, we have a huge inventory of trees, shade trees, and many varieties of oak, maple, and elm, and ornamental trees like Cleveland Select Pear, several varieties of crabapple and redbud, as well as black gum, Persian ironwood, and Japanese tree lilac, and beautiful shrubs in burning bush, viburnum, and itea, all turning their best right now. This week, save some money as we have autumn blaze maples in several sizes, 20% off. Yes, our most popular tree is 20% off. We have every tree in stock at least 10% off. So stop and stroll our huge selection, and you'll see why people say,
wow, it must be by Ritter's.
Back here at Merrill A. Miller Senior Family Field at Bracewell Stadium, Coleman had to be helped off the field. New quarterback into the ballgame is Jacob Richtman. Fourth down and one from the 39. Baker coming off the edge. Couldn't quite get there. It was a handoff to Albright. Now Albright's going to be thrown down by Simpson. Kind of a suplex. Surprised he didn't draw the flag right
there. That's an edge play right there. I know that's a lot of intensity right there. It's a good solid tackle. But in this day and age when we're talking about player protection, I'm surprised this crew didn't have themselves a flag, because you see Striegel, he's out there trying to get some clarification from the officials.
And we have seen that called before. I mean, he grabbed him from the backside and suplexed him like in the WWE onto his backside.
And if he just would have put him down on the mat like you're supposed to and then move it into your next move, I think that would have been okay.
So first down and 10 for the Greyhounds from the 40. Williams still at tailback, 172 yards. Counterplay, Williams going right side. Gets to the 42 before he's spun down, a gain of two. 16 carries, 174 now for the 25, number 25 tailback from BHS.
Making some great moves, but again, you're up, the clock is running. Make sure that you don't put yourself in a situation where you're spinning and somebody grabs a hold of an ankle, you know, and puts a damper on the next couple weeks for you. So be smart, take care of the ball, and protect yourself.
Second down and 8 from the 42 as we hit the halfway mark of quarter number 3. Burlington 40, Mount Pleasant 3, keeper by Baker. And he just tried to take it right up the gut, and he was squared up and form tackled backward. No gain on the play, but a brilliant tackle.
Chase Irving had something
to say. I want to say Irving, yeah.
Yeah, the kick returner.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sure that's how he wants to be
kick
known.
Kick returner, linebacker. That's, you know, that's the way you want to do that. You know, he had a tackle. We just got a text from a former Greyhound who also used to wear the number 43, talking about no place to play like in Bracewell. So, Matt Siebold, you are absolutely right.
Third down and 8. Pitch to Williams coming near side. He's got a couple of blockers in front of him. 45, 50 into Mount Pleasant territory. Spun down at the 45, maybe the 44. They'll give him the 44, so that's a 14-yard pickup.
Lincoln Henriksen on the stop along with Morgan Van Nuys. And, you know, there you go. What do you do on third and long? Oh, yeah, we're going to pitch the outside and let the fastest guy in the field take it for a first down.
188 yards on the night, so nearing that 200-yard plateau. He is high this season, 322. I don't think we'll get to 322.
And I want you to know that nobody on that sideline has any of these records or stats in hands.
Here's a give to Simpson on first down from the 44, and he's got a lot of yardage. 35, 30, gets to the outside, 25, 20, 15, 10, and he's driven out of bounds at the 8-yard line. A pickup of 36, and the Greyhounds are in the State Farm, Matt Rinker State Farm red zone.
I mean, you are just so focused on Bryant that you forget about these other guys who just do a nice job of accelerating through. Good job of keeping it high and tight and lowering your shoulder and getting it into the red zone. Time to get some points off of this now.
40-3, 4 minutes and 4 seconds remaining in the third quarter. First down and goal from the Greyhounds from the 8. High formation set. Now Trey Maxwell at fullback. Give it to Maxwell. Right up the gut. Not even hit until he gets into the end zone. Touchdown, Greyhounds. Trey Maxwell from 8 yards out.
That's a bad thing, Scott. He's going to start going to Coach Krekel tomorrow that he needs more touches.
Give me the ball.
Here I go. One time I touch it, I get in the end zone, so I need some more.
100% of the time I touch the football, we put points on the board.
And you know, I can see some people campaigning. I mean, that's all kidding. Good job. It's good to see some of our other guys score. Congratulations, Trey Maxwell. And again, as the Greyhounds set up to go for two, again, Brian Velasquez is nursing a sore right knee. And as much as Xavion can kick, he can't kick it 10 feet over the goalpost. So we are going to go for two again.
Give to Simpson for the two-point conversion. And again, he's hit at the goal line and just bowls his way into the end zone. So with 3:50 remaining in the third, the Greyhounds now lead 48-3. Back in 1 minute on KBR and KBR.com.
This year has changed the way we all live our lives. But one thing that will not change are the great relationships with your hometown bank. I'm Connor Holzen, your real estate loan officer with Danville State Savings Bank. With your good credit, you can count on us to assist you with all your home buying needs. At the Danville State Savings Bank, when you're ready, so are we. Just give me a call. Offices in Danville, New London, and online at danvillebank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
At Ryan Schmidt Flooring America, we are big fans of local sports, and we're proud of the athletes who have the courage and the drive to compete. We know success on the field or court takes great teamwork, trust, and dedication from all your teammates and coaches. We live by those same qualities here at Ryan Schmitz. From our team to yours, best wishes in the games to come. We'll be rooting for you. Family owned and operated and part of your community for over 85 years. Ryan Schmitz Flooring America on Roosevelt Avenue in Burlington, where friends send friends.
Push up tally up to 168 for the Burlington High School cheerleaders. Xavi Baker gets us back underway and barely kicks it out of bounds. Almost run down on the near sideline. I believe that was Ryan Bowman, who almost was able to keep it from going out of bounds. It would have been an onside kick, and that would have been a bad look.
I don't know if that was a true onside kick or if Xavier's hamstring is just that tired from having to kick tonight. So
he's kicked it that way all night, though.
He not kicked it that short. So the illegal procedure penalty going against the Greyhounds, and I'm going to have to say the Panthers are going to want this ball in the 35. So, and they have exactly done that, and they've actually moved the 5-yard penalty because of the 40.
They've taken it where it went out of bounds at the 41. So first down and 10 for the Panthers, now trailing 48-3. Jacob Richtman still in at quarterback, so Carson Coleman still nursing whatever his injury ended up being. Richtman back to pass, throws it deep down the near side, caught and shoved out of bounds on the near sideline as Wyatt Woodsmall after a pickup of 24.
Had a little stunt on there with Baker coming in from the far side, and the other Owen Baker, just couldn't get back in coverage quick enough before that pass was caught. Nice setup. Rickman's got a nice arm. Stands in the pocket well.
108 yards of total offense now for Mount Pleasant. First down and 10 from the Greyhound 35. 3:15 and counting, remaining here in the third quarter. Here's Albright on the give, and he gets stood up and driven back. I believe that's Trey Maxwell who's saying, not only do I score, but I also drive people into the ground. Now a late flag, probably going to be some sort of unsportsmanlike after the 3-yard pickup.
Well, we're going to take a look. Again, with the emphasis on taunting and personal fouls of unsportsmanlike conduct, you have to be careful about how you get off a pile, how you get out of a tackle, and I don't know.
Unsportsmanlike on Mount Pleasant, unsportsmanlike on Burlington. Post-play foul, so the play will stand.
A call that I absolutely hate. You know, if you're going to get on somebody one time. Don't just say, I understand you want to keep guys in the ballgame. But there's going to be a little discussion about how to handle yourselves, and head referee is coming over to talk to Coach Krekel now.
I don't think Krek was impressed with the explanation.
He didn't say thank you, sir.
No,
appreciate
he did
that.
Not. So, the unsportsmanlike fouls will negate each other. Gain of 3, second down and 7 from the 32. And hit as he's throwing is Rickman. It's coming up the middle. Is that Zog?
Caleb Zog finally gets what he's been working so hard for not only tonight, but really the last 3 weeks. He is just a missile, and he has got his eyes set on the ribs of Rickman and did a nice job of disrupting that pass.
So third down and seven coming up. Clock continues to run at 2:25. 48-3 your score. Mount Pleasant scored the first three on an opening possession field goal. Since then, it has been all Greyhounds. Six touchdowns, 6 2-point conversions. Rickman gets a high snap, gives it to Albright. That play was blown up because the snap was high and allowed Carlo Martinez-Hale to get penetration and drop Albright for a loss of three.
Again, the spread zone offense tells you that you are too fast to even block a backside end or linebacker, and that's just not true when you have Carlo Martinez-Hale in the ballgame.
So the ball resting just outside the 35-yard line. Fourth down and 10 for Mount Pleasant. They send three wideouts to the left side, one to the right side. Short side of the field is the right side as the ball rests on the hash. Rickman gets a snap. He's going to throw deep down the near sideline. He's got a man again in and out of the hands of his intended receiver, Woodsmall. Hit him once before for a gain of 24. Would have had a big gainer right there, but that time Woodsmall's hands betrayed him. It falls incomplete, and the Greyhounds take over at their own 35.
Kanye Baker on the coverage there just kind of stood up because he thought he was going to kind of run a little underneath pattern, and all of a sudden Woodsmall runs right by. Baker doesn't have enough time to turn around and get back into coverage. Ball just thrown out the outside hands of Woodsmall.
So Williams stays in the ball game, and Noah Nixon now the fullback. Final minute of the third quarter now whistles. Going to blow the plate
time out,
dead.
Timeout,
Mount Pleasant.
This is a great time because I'm sure this is where Trey Maxwell is going to go into the offensive huddle and say, hey, what is designed for me? I need touches.
I mean, what do I got to do? I score a touchdown and then I get down on the bench in favor of Noah Nixon?
And I take a guy down?
Does he score 100% of the time?
No, he doesn't. I think there's some sort of we need to have some sort of offensive conference with
conspiracy.
The coaches. Yes.
Well, let's see. Noah Nixon, 3 carries, 22 yards, no touchdowns. Trey Maxwell, 1 carry, 8 yards, 1 touchdown.
Yeah.
I mean, the proof's in the numbers.
404. Whoever your agent is, Trey, you need to go ahead and make a conference call with Mr. Huff and Jim Krekel.
I'm Trey Maxwell, I don't even give Noah a chance. I say, sit down. I got this.
Yeah.
404 yards of total offense right now for the Greyhounds.
I'm glad everybody knows that we are just absolutely kidding.
First and 10 is Gabe Robinson in at quarterback now. He'll turn and give it on a counter to Ryan Bowman. Ooh. Bowman playing a little square dance with a couple of defenders. Able to stay on his feet and work his way forward. Matriculating the ball down the field, as Hank Stram would say, to the 41, a gain of 6.
That's true matriculation because you see a little stop, jump cup, coming back the other way. Going around,
You're debuting your John Madden. First you
need the telestrator.
Yeah. And now you're going, and there's
hey,
a bang.
You put this new Brett technology Favre. In our office, into our little room here.
Brett
we're
Favre.
Wanna,
and I love that guy, and Brett Favre, and Bryant Williams.
And when you
leaves the lineup in favor of Kanye Baker now at tailback. Robinson turns and fakes it to Nixon, keeper. Plants his foot, turns it upfield at the right hash. He's got a first down, a gain of 5 to the 46, and that'll do it for the third quarter. So Gabe Robinson finishes the middle, or I should say the third 12-minute period with a gain of 5. And when we come back, the Greyhounds will have first down and 10. Put those four fingers in the air, 36 in the books, 12 to go. It's a running clock, so it won't take too long. Burlington 48, Mount Pleasant 3, back in 1 minute on KBUR.
Your child got hurt in the last game, and you're worried. Is it just a bruise or something more serious? Find out at the Saturday Morning Sports Medicine Clinic at Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center Orthopedics. No appointments, just answers. Orthopedic providers evaluate injured athletes who must be accompanied by a parent. Athletic trainers discuss follow-up care. Bring your insurance card to the Saturday Morning Sports Medicine Clinic at Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center Orthopedics in West Burlington. 8 till 9 every week during the fall sports season.
Life can get expensive. Case Spine's got a loan for it. A new couch?
Case Spine has a loan for that.
New windows?
Case Spine's got a loan for that.
A tropical vacation?
Case Spine definitely has a loan for that.
The finishing touches for a new basement man cave?
Case Spine's got a loan for that too. No matter what you're looking for, Case Spine probably has a loan for it. Apply now in person or online at casespine.com. Case Spine, it's where you belong.
First down and 10 for the Greyhounds from their own 46-yard line as we start the fourth quarter. Carlo Martinez-Hale now at tailback. Baker back at quarterback, and he's going to keep it. Gets a block from Martinez-Hale into Panther territory, 45-40. Start and stop at the 35, and he's brought down at the 31 after a gain of 23 yards.
Now, I got to tell you, Scott, they didn't put Kanye back in because Gabe had done something wrong. Gabe got banged up and had to come out. I'm not sure where he's at. He's getting looked at right now by Kyle Peterson down in front of us, looking at his his lower left side. So Kanye's back in, but CMH is a guy that I've always liked to see play this tailback spot. I think he could add some very unique flavor to this position as well.
CMH still at tailback behind Noah Nixon, who's 2 yards behind the quarterback, Baker. First and 10 from the 32, quick hitter to Nixon. Nixon just plows his way through an interior defensive lineman, hops over him, and gets to the 29, a gain of 3.
And Noah better be picking up his yardage here, or else I'm going to ride that thing probably too far.
With each carry, the farther away from 100% Noah Nixon gets of that 100% touchdown-to-carry ratio. So all the more ammunition to go in and talk to Coach Kreckel tomorrow morning.
I'm sure he's on the iPad looking at things going, okay, I'm highlighting this play.
Noah got 3. I could have gotten 6. Here's why. Second and 7 from the 29-yard line. Baker turns and gives it to Nixon. Nixon again. He's eating up all of Trey Maxwell's carries. And he's just eating up yardage now as he gets all the way down to the 9-yard line. That's a pickup of 20. And the Greyhounds once again into the Matt Rinker State Farm red zone.
He's mad. He knew. He knew the pressure was on. And if it weren't for Witsmall to make the stop for the Panthers, he would have gone in for 6.
I didn't see him beat the stuffing out of the 9-yard line.
Yeah. But, I mean,
it's not the yard line's fault.
No, you got to give credit to Mount Pleasant. They are still throwing punches and sticking their nose in there, even though this has been tough sledding for them tonight.
Baker, again, Nixon. This time they sniff it out. Does the interior defensive line for Mount Pleasant. They're going to have Nixon down to the 7, a gain of 2. It'll be second and goal.
Franklin Toussaint on the stop for the Panthers, a new fresh body in there. Chippiness coming around in this clock. If you look right here, Scott, on the right-hand part of the screen, Gunner Short drops in Mount Pleasant Panther. What'd I say? I was getting too excited.
He said if you look at that right part. You meant to say part, but
right part.
It was an F instead of a P. They give him a yard, second and goal from the 8. Now CMH gets it off the left side, and Martinez-Hale down to the 2 for a gain of 6. We all do it.
Yep, we do.
But when you do it, it really makes me laugh.
And that's what I'm here for your pleasure.
Absolutely. 393 yards on the ground. That makes it a total offensive performance of 467 at this point for the Greyhounds.
Caden Shizzle coming in. I think his mouthpiece fell off. And I think that's Jackson Carlson going to pick it up. Or maybe it was just a piece of tape.
So third and goal from the 2 now. Baker still under center. Turns around, says to Nixon, I'm not giving it to you. And I'm going to fumble it because we're going to mess up our exchange. And Mount Pleasant's, oh, no, Burlington recovered it back at the 5. So Nixon,
you know who
a little
calling.
Bit of bad luck. That's negative 3.
You know who I'm calling right now. Bring in Double Deuce. Bring in the Tray.
Well, we would call him what we call Joe whenever he'd come in a tie ball game.
The closer.
No, the Vulture.
Okay.
He'd come in and just eat that roadkill.
Well, here we go.
Carlson into the ballgame. Maxwell, surprisingly, even with his 100% carry-to-touchdown ratio, still on the bench.
And some bad news for the Greyhounds after this play.
Fourth and goal from the 4. CMH off the left side, and he's going to be stopped short. Nice attacking swarm defense for Mount Pleasant. Stops Carlo at the one, a gain of three, and on downs the Grounds turn it over.
And here's the bad news, everybody. We don't know how serious this is, but Gabe Robinson, the backup quarterback and the starting right side corner, is out of his shoulder pads right now, and he's being attended to by Kyle Peterson. They're just kind of sitting there talking. We hope it's nothing serious, but Bake is going to finish the game at quarterback and at that far side corner. So we'll have Tiadre Owens step in the mix here as they finish out the game. And we'll try to get some of those other new numbers in for you as we go. Trent Huffman has moved from linebacker down to the far side end. And inside goes Deshaun Kennard.
So first down and 10, Mount Pleasant from the one. Rickman from the end zone turns and gives it to Albright. Albright gets back to the line of scrimmage before he's driven backward. And that's something we haven't seen this year is a safety, John. I don't want to get greedy, but
if you're going to score, let's get all the scores in there, Scott. Sure. That's what I say.
Next up on my to-see bucket list at the high school level, a drop kick.
There you go.
I want to see somebody execute
a drop
kick.
And with the way Jim Kreckel does things, you may see it before too long.
Then I want to see a two-handed forward pass. Oh, there's a video out there. I got to show you.
Shovel pass.
No, I got to show it to you sometime.
Okay.
It's called the worst play in NFL history. I'll show it.
Obviously the Bears.
Nope.
Oh.
Second and 10 from the one. Again from his own end zone. Albright with the carry. Nice little pickup this time as he's able to work his way free to the 10, a gain of 9. Isaiah Albright now with 21 yards on 7 carries.
Caden Chisel and Jackson Carlson coming downhill on that tackle. So I'm going to check that. That's Owen Baker. Sorry. So you're right. That's going to be our first thing that we're going to do. In honor of Don Brandt and Ralph White, we're going to make complaints about TV numbers and jersey numbers.
Albright again on third and one. This time he's dropped by Trey Maxwell. Tonight he is doing Carlo Martinez-Hale stuff.
Man, some players of the game are going to be hard to pick. I'm just saying.
No gain, and Mount Pleasant will kick it away on fourth and one as we hit 5 minutes remaining in the ballgame. Burlington 48, Mount Pleasant 3 if you're just joining us. Grounds have scored 6 touchdowns tonight. No, 7 touchdowns. No. Yes, 7 touchdowns. No. Math is hard. 6 touchdowns and 6 two-point conversions. It's simple. 48 divided by 8, John. That's all I had to do.
Kick is blocked.
Kick is blocked, picked up, and run into the end zone. Is that Jackson Carlson with the touchdown?
Got the block.
That was Owen Baker.
Owen Baker
right
with the block.
Off the foot of the punter.
And Ryan Bowman, I believe, scored the touchdown. So Bowman with a one-yard punt return.
And this is...
Oh, no, Shizzle. Shizzle got it.
This is nothing more than just putting pressure on the kicker. And he had a free lane. The right side wing back did not cover that protection. And Owen was able to get in and take the ball off the foot of the punter. You can't tell kids not to play hard.
So with 4:32 remaining in the fourth, it's now Burlington 54, Mount Pleasant 3. Grounds will go for two again. Again, no kicker. Brian Velasquez last week did something to his right knee. So now Baker's just going to follow center and the two guards into the end zone for the two-point conversion. And with 4.5 minutes remaining in this one, it's now Burlington 56, Mount Pleasant 3, back in 1 minute on KBUR.
Are you in on it?
I'm in on it.
Yep, I'm definitely in on it.
Just got in on it last week.
Yeah, took us by surprise. But we're definitely in on it now.
The it these people are in on is the surprisingly great rates for auto insurance from State Farm.
Can I get in on it?
Absolutely. Just contact your local State Farm agent today, and you can get in on some surprisingly great rates, too. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Say big with Matt Rinker, Burlington's new State Farm agent across from Community Field on Mount Pleasant Street in Burlington.
At Bob Dodd's Insurance, they recognize the value of teamwork and believe that hard work pays off both in sports and in life. They wish all the athletes competing this season good luck and encourage you to put your all into practice today to achieve victory tomorrow. trust in teamwork. Trust in tomorrow. Contact Bob Dodds Insurance, your local Grinnell Mutual agent at 319-392-8311 today for all your insurance needs. Trust in tomorrow is a registered trademark of Grinnell Mutual Reinsurance Company.
John Flaherty, we're sitting on a Scoregami. 56-3, Scoregami alert.
Whoop, 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 whoop. Whoop, whoop, whoop. It's been sent over the internet.
Scoregami, score. If you don't remember what Scoregami is, it is a score that has never happened in the history of Burlington High School. 1,070 games after tonight, 56-3 has never happened. Back underway, Xavier Baker gets us back underway, and it's going to be taken by the man with the neck roll one more time. That's Chase Irving up to the 44. And that's where the Panthers will start. As I look even farther, let's say Burlington gets it back and scores again. 64-3, 62-3. Scoregami. Chances of Scoregami, 99%.
That's awesome.
Unless they score.
Phillips. Let's see if there's 50. On the tackle, and along comes 56. Alex Fawcett.
56-9.
Scott
Scoregami. 56-10. Scoregami. I say we're close to 99.9%. Scoregami is going to happen tonight. First down and 10 for Mount Pleasant. Here's Albright off the left side. And nice run by Isaiah Albright to midfield, if not even the Burlington 49.
Alex Fawcett along with Gunner Short making the tackle for the Greyhounds. And there goes Trent Huffman, a guy that's really been quiet the last 2 weeks for the Greyhounds. But good to see him getting his name into the mix of things here. Had to put his hand down to play end just due to the few numbers of defensive linemen they've had.
Inside of 3:20 remaining in this one. Clock continues to run. Two to the right, one to the left for Mount Pleasant. Here's Albright again. Hit and drop for no gain.
Phil Phillips on the bottom of the pile for the Greyhounds. Again, it's good to see some of those names. And Trey Maxwell, I think maybe he's trying to take the ball and go in and score just to show Noah one more time.
Greyhounds right now have outgained Mount Pleasant 468-121.
Pretty impressive night for the Greyhounds.
Fourth down and four from midfield. Quick hitter in and out of the hands of the intended receiver, who didn't take too kindly to getting lit up by Jackson Carlson as he came across the middle. I mean, what do you expect Carlson to do? He's trying to make up the play, and that's Albright who gets up a little huffy.
Well, and then they had a little, like they looked at each other, but then I think they said everything was okay.
I mean, knowing Jackson the way I do, he's not trying to do anything out of line. I mean, Jackson's
that's
one of the good
ones. That's not him. He's a rule follower.
So fourth down and four from midfield as the clock hits 2 minutes and rolling on. Richtman barking out the signals, trips to the right side. Hit from behind as he throws by Simpson and throws it out of bounds. And on downs, the grounds will take over. That was, I want to say, it's either Bowman or Shizzle.
Shizzle, you can tell by the gloves.
I can't tell anything. 6'8", they all look the same. You speak for yourself on that one, John Flaherty.
I am going to.
Well, so with 6 yards on the ground right here, the grounds will hit 400 for the night.
So you just kind of wonder, you know, your offense is still the option. Are you just going to go ahead and give belly and ride that out, or are you going to get some work, especially with Kanye now? Yep, he's going to get back under center, and Caleb Zog has moved in.
Victory formation. So the grounds will just run a couple of kneel downs and let the clock run out. This is going to kill Baker's rushing total, though.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Trey Maxwell is beside himself. He is. No, I'm kidding, everybody. It is, you know.
Are you close with Trey?
No, I just like Trey a lot. I haven't had him in class back in the day, you know, and I kind of like to.
So you can poke that bear and he'll be okay with it.
Yeah. Especially since we had to do so much biology together.
Final play of the game coming up.
A great team victory.
Another 2 yard loss.
Really a great team victory. Again, this is really reminiscent. If you do some study on the Dirty 30 from Iowa State, this is kind of reminiscent of these guys. Lots of guys playing both ways at a lot of different levels, dealing with some injuries. And so hats off. You feel horrible for Mount Pleasant team that certainly, you know, played extremely hard, but it just was no match for this Greyhound offense.
So the Greyhounds win tonight by the score of 56-3. It was all Greyhounds tonight after an opening field goal on the opening drive by Mount Pleasant. But the Greyhounds, for the first time since 2008, no matter what happens these last two or more weeks, will finish with a winning record. And John Flaherty, I could not tell you how happy I am to see this for a program that has faced the trials and the tribulations of not being competitive for so many of those games throughout so many of those years, to see it turn around as it has this year, now sitting at 5-2 and for sure going to finish with a winning record,
yep,
is incredible. Back in 2 minutes on KBUR. Or we'll keep it right here.
He's going to watch him ring the bell.
Going to let him ring the bell. We'll hear it live. 56-3, your final score. Score-agami.
Records score-agami. All over the place.
Yeah, Brian Williams, 3 touchdowns tonight. He finishes with 18 points, so he now has set a new single-season record for points scored. Williams also now needs just 39 points to set a new career record for points scored. 3 touchdowns on the ground tonight gives him the record now at 21 rushing touchdowns, and that's only in 7 weeks. So who knows how high he might push that bar for future running backs to try and get. He also, his 3 total touchdowns tonight, he's scored 23 on the season. That's a new school record. And again, through 7 weeks, who knows how high he will push that bar as well. As it sits right now, 6 touchdowns remain for Williams to set a new rushing record for a career, and 6 overall touchdowns remain for him to set a new record for most touchdowns of any kind in a career at BHS. We're going to try it again. We're going to take 2 minutes off. When we come back, Josh Osborne, as promised by Jim Kreckel, will be in to have the post-game interview as we begin the Orthopedics Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center post-game show on KBUR and KBUR.com.
More from the field in a moment, including tonight's presentation of the Kirk Messner Player of the Game. This is Burlington Greyhounds football on KBUR.
Dr. Kurt Messner salutes the Burlington High School Greyhound football team for all their hard work and dedication during the season. Dr. Messner applauds the players, coaches, and parents for their commitment to the community both on and off the field. It's his own commitment to excellence that has guided Dr. Messner in treating dental patients in the Burlington area since 1986. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Kurt Messner, 319-752-5494.
Summer, a time to enjoy the outdoors on ATVs, campers, side-by-sides, and motorcycles. If you've had your heart set on a new toy, Pine the Grove Savings Bank is here to help. Maybe you want a new home or to improve your current home. We can finance those dreams too. We're working for Southeast Iowa in 14 locations, including our newest location on South Gear Avenue in West Burlington. And a loan officer who understands your needs is just a short drive away. Pine the Grove Savings Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Summer has stuck around a little longer than we thought, but I'm ready for some fall weather. Hi, this is Steve from Ritter's Landscaping Home and Garden Center. And with our temperatures starting to cool and nighttime coming earlier each day, we know fall is here. With fall weather comes the beauty of brilliant fall color on our trees and shrubs. It also means it's time for a tree sale. Unlike many merchants this year, we have a huge inventory of trees. Shade trees in many varieties of oak, maple, and elm, and ornamental trees like Cleveland Select Pear, several varieties of crabapple and redbud, as well as black gum,
Persian ironwood, and Japanese tree lilac, and beautiful shrubs in burning bush, viburnum, and itea all turning their best right now. This week, save some money as we have autumn blaze maples in several sizes, 20% off. Yes, our most popular tree is 20% off. We have every tree in stock at least 10% off. So stop and stroll our huge selection, and you'll see why people say,
wow, it must be by Ritter's.
For over 30 years, Courtesy Door's reputation has been built by the quality of their products and the satisfaction of their customers. Garage doors, openers, or parts, Courtesy Door has what you need. They offer residential and commercial products from Rainer and Clopay, also specializing in large-scale agricultural and commercial doors. To schedule a service call, get a quote, or learn more about the area's favorite door company, go to CourtesyDoor.com or stop by at 2231 James Avenue in Mount Pleasant.
At Bob Dodd's Insurance, they recognize the value of teamwork and believe that hard work pays off both in sports and in life. They wish all the athletes competing this season good luck and encourage you to put your all into practice today to achieve victory tomorrow. Trust in teamwork. Trust in tomorrow. Contact Bob Dodd's Insurance, your local Grinnell Mutual agent at 319-392-8311 today for all your insurance needs. Trust in tomorrow is a registered trademark of Grinnell Mutual Reinsurance Company.
The game is in the books. With more insight and analysis as to tonight's outcome, we present tonight's postgame show.
No!
Back to the field. Here's Scott Mason and John Flaherty.
Back here at Merrill A. Miller Senior Family Field at Bracewell Stadium, where the Greyhounds win tonight 56-3 over Mount Pleasant. And we're about ready to get underway with the Orthopedic Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center postgame show. And as promised, a new face. Jim Kruckel said yesterday in the pregame interview, he said, we're going to send Oz up. And so we are joined by...
He's got to get his face in.
You know this is radio, though, right? So they don't have... Yeah. So he just mugged for the camera like I like to do.
Yes, and everybody now knows us that we've gone out.
Josh Osborne is joining us, and I asked him what he does. What are you responsible for? He goes, well... A little bit of this, a little bit of that. I'm kind of
as he was when he was a player.
I'm the baker. I take everything and I put it all together and I see what comes out. But Josh Osborne, for those of you who don't know, was one of the top running backs of your era as the head coach. Went on to Central, played for 4 years for the Dutch. And according to him, we're trying to effort Joe to tell us for sure your son. But in the top five all-time rushing yardage-wise for Central. So welcome to the postgame show, Josh Osborne.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Glad to be here.
To this Trey Maxwell thing, 100% of his carries tonight went for a touchdown. We are curious why he doesn't get the ball more.
Trey Maxwell, to start off, we have a stable of fullbacks. I mean, we got Nolan, we got Phil, we have Noah, we have Trey. We have a lot of guys at fullback right now, and they're all great backs. The carry saying we don't try to go person for person and try to give every kid a certain amount of carries, but we're fortunate to get Nolan back and feeling well and healthy this week. But we wanted to give our other guys some love there at the end of the game as we kind of got up in the score. But Trey runs hard. He's been coming on real strong here at the end of the season. He's playing great on defense and on offense, so we're happy to see him get a touchdown here tonight.
Yeah. I got a question, and it's just in scheme and how you guys kind of plan for Bryant. Is there, when you're in a situation when you're up and it's getting a little lopsided, are some of these option runs really designed as bellies and keeps for quarterbacks so Bryant gets just a couple plays to catch his breath, or are we still in the true read?
We do have calls where they're straight gives, so we can call a play, and depending on what it is and what formation it is, where we're at down on the field, and we'll just say, hey, this is a straight give. And so, no, we do have some plays that are not reads. They're just straight gives to the fullbacks.
Okay.
So 391 yards of offense. Oh, I turned down the wrong mic. I was turning his down a little bit because he was running hot. 391 yards on the ground tonight. Just a tremendous offensive performance. We talk about it so much. I mean, obviously, we harp on Bryant and his accomplishments every chance we get. But in reality, what we've seen tonight is really the come to fruition of what Jim Kruckel wanted to do. as he told John Flaherty several times, if I'm ever the head coach, I'm throwing it back to the future. We're seeing it. Not only does Bryant go for 188 tonight, I mean, Simpson has 79 yards, and he has a run of 36. It's just a simple belly play off the left side between center and left guard, and he takes it down the sideline. Noah Nixon ends up with 44 yards. Kanye Baker has 55. You're not just getting it from one guy. You're getting it from three or four.
Yes, and that's always nice to see. We know our linemen, our offensive line, our tight ends, and our wing backs are getting better each week. Like we've kind of harped on all year, we want to be able to go 1-0 each week. We had a great scheme. We had a great plan this week for practice, and we came out and got right to business. Our offensive line was aggressive, and we were able to get to some of those flowing linebackers and pop some runs off. We know that teams are starting to key here on Bryant a little bit. So, like I said before, we're glad that our fullbacks could get more love tonight. So we love to see that. Everybody's running hard as well.
Just so we're clear, we've had a lot of requests that we bring the chair in so the best-looking guy in the room can get on screen. So I'm just – and that's true. This is out in the airwaves. It said, get some chairs so we can get to see Josh on screen.
We don't
want
to see his, yeah, you know, his abs.
No,
we don't
want
to see the old guys.
See his pretty face. Yeah.
So as you guys are moving forward and you're getting ready for Iowa City Liberty, you know, you guys are still running – in a very, you know, we've talked about you guys being akin to the Dirty 30 of Iowa State back in the 50s where, you know, so many guys are going both ways. How are you guys handling that? And now you've added a new injury, and we hope it's not too serious with Gabe. But how are you guys handling that, and what's the prospect of getting some of those guys back in 2 weeks as we get going? And we got to take care of business up at Iowa City Liberty next week. But where are we at there?
Well, yeah, and that's been tough. The injury bug has kind of bitten us this year, but I think the key is with that is trying to get guys the proper amount of rest. I think we've had some guys try to come back too soon, maybe when they weren't ready.
Right.
And especially when you talk about defense, because you have to react on defense, and we have an ankle injury. Reacting is not something that tends to do well with ankle injuries. But I think going forward, we just got to get those guys hooked up with our athletic trainers and making sure that they're doing the proper things to be able to come back when they're ready, when their body is 100% ready. So we've just got to be on the same page with our guys and with the athletic training staff and to really know that those guys are coming back and they're truly healthy and they're not coming back before their body's ready.
Tell me what it means to you who was here as a player. You get to come back and coach. You know, for a long time, this is my 11th year, my sixth with John, and, you know, we've seen a lot of losses. We've seen a lot of tough, one-sided losses go the other way. And I've always said I'm hopeful that someday the worm would turn. Well, the worm has turned at least for these first seven games for the most part. What's it mean to you as a former player and a coach to finally see this program turn a bit of a corner and to become the dominant instead of the dominated? Who knows how long it'll last, but at least for five of these 7 weeks, it's been a fun ride. What's it like for you seeing this kind of come together as a coach?
It's been great. The last time I remember us really, you know, kind of beating up on teams and getting our fair share of wins was back in 2008. That would have been when I was a sophomore. Jack Flaherty and some of those guys were juniors and seniors. I think they went, you know, 7-2 or something like that.
7-3, yes.
But,
7-3. I forget, he doesn't have headphones. 7-3.
It's great to be able to experience some success. Our guys are playing hard, even though we've only got, you know, 30 guys on the team. A lot of guys are going both ways, and, you know, those guys are dead tired at the end of games, but they come out here and practice hard all week, and then they play hard on Friday night, and we really appreciate that about our guys. You know, we stay true to ourselves. We try to go 1-0 each week, but it's been a lot of fun for me to come back here and see our kids having a lot of success, you know. And it's always been one of my – one of my dreams to come back here and coach. So
do they
awesome.
Wear the Dirty 30 moniker? And maybe they don't call themselves the Dirty 30, but you know, they know they got a limited roster. Is this sort of a badge of honor for these guys to say, look, we've had small rosters for a long time, but let's do something different than go 1-5 or 2-7, whatever it is.
Yeah, no, and that was the tough thing about, like I said, when I played and Jack Flaherty and some of those guys played, we were playing some of those really big schools that were two platoon and everybody. So when we played everything, Bettendorf and Pleasant Valley was sending on another 11 guys to play versus guys who were already dead tired. And we're kind of still doing the same thing now because our numbers are still down and we'd like to see them on the rise some point here soon. But, our players are tough and they're ready to go toe-to-toe with anybody. And now that we're kind of playing some of these smaller schools that are the same size as us, I think that helps a lot. It's going to help us have success. And now teams are not too platooning us like they used to, you know. You know, when our guys are tired in the third and fourth quarter, their guys are also tired in the third and fourth quarter because a good majority of their players are also playing both ways. And you can definitely tell when guys are going both ways.
And if I said it once, I said it 100 times as we looked across the field at Cedar Rapids Kennedy and Bettendorf and City High and City West when they're dressing 60, 70, 75 guys. It would be nice to play teams that are built similarly. And finally, here we are. And it doesn't make me Nostradamus or anything. It's just it's interesting to see when you're not one of the smallest and you're not necessarily one of the biggest, but you're average and you're taking on the other average teams to see what you can do. So we have some answers.
Well, I got two questions.
Okay,
though.
But
got
then
it.
Give him the answers that your son gave.
First question. Funner coaching, funner playing?
Oh, man. Getting to see kind of the side of things that you guys saw when I played, and man, being a coach is frustrating.
Now you
frustrating.
Know why you're always getting chewed.
But I still got to go back and say that it's funner playing. There's nothing like playing on a Friday night under the lights and in front of so many people, even though you kind of block them out because you're in the zone. You're in the zone when you're playing the game, but yeah, there's nothing like playing football on a Friday night with the guys you grew up with.
Do you feel a little more helpless? This is not my second question. This is 1B. Do you feel more helpless as a coach?
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, as a player, and we know the caliber of your player here, we're going to get to those stats. And just tell me, because I just got a feeling, because I've talked with Coach Webb enough. You're like, man, if I just got into a set of pads right now, it'd be on, right? Am I right there?
The damage I could do in the
things
I could
change. Because I had some of you other guys. I had Vince King and Mitch King. You know, those guys are like, oh, I got, just let me get into some pads one day, and we'll show them what it was like. So, So my second question is, best highlight as a coach right now. It's been a short term. This is your second year, but as a coach, and then your best highlight as a player. Here in Bracewell.
Here at Bracewell.
Because you've had so many. I mean, I go through a roll. I'm just sitting here looking at you, and I got questions. And I got one I think I'm going to share that a lot of people don't know. But
Best highlight as a coach is just being down here with a couple of the guys along with yourself that coached me. It's kind of gone circle, if you will. So I love that. I love being around the guys that coach me, and I love being around these guys that are playing now. So it's just awesome to be a part of what's going on here at BHS, both at the school and in athletics. Best highlight as a player would be, just all the memories that I had with the team dinners and traveling with the guys that I grew up with and playing tough ball with. You know, the conference that we're in, the MAC conference, in all the sports that we played in, they were tough, whether it was football, basketball, track, baseball. It was a grind, and it made us tougher, I feel like. It's molded us into the people that we've kind of become.
So 2008, week 6, what was that score?
2008.
Week 6. I'm making a point here.
Six.
Because I love what he just said. So, John, how many times did you and I say it, and I'm sure you've said it, it's high school athletics, as much as we'd like to win, and this goes out to all the parents out there. This ain't about final scores. 56-3 is nice, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's not a – what you said earlier was one of the coolest things I've heard a former player say, which is going out here under the lights on a Friday night with the guys, most people stop there. You said, I grew up with.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. My point was, you don't remember final scores.
No.
But you remember the bus rides.
Yeah.
And you remember the killers that Coach Flaherty made you run because so-and-so did this and it penalized all of us. And
just
it was
the diamonds.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the it's the experience is so much more than the wins and losses.
Right.
And that's what gets lost in the middle of, you know, your kids growing up as a parent, I think. That has to be what happens because your kids are going through something they'll never forget.
Oh, yeah.
And if you step back as a parent who maybe played yourself, you would realize that too. But yeah, we get so tied up in playing time and what the scoreboard is. To hear Coach Osborne say that, that's really, really poignant.
All right, so now I'm going to tell my story about you.
Okay.
Senior year.
Yeah.
I see you in the hallway.
Oh.
Assumption week. And you are absolutely bent over, and you're like, Coach, I don't think I'm going to be able to play.
Yeah,
and
I remember
I'm just like,
that day.
What? I said, well, go home. If you're sick, go home. And because you were never a player who would go, you know, I'm not feeling right now, I'm going to go home. You were like,
no,
I'm going to play. And so, and then all of a sudden, you came back to school.
Yeah.
And then you said, I really can't play. And I said, well, Josh, go home and get healthy. And then we're on the sideline, and we're walking, and I get tapped on by Coach Tom Pleen. He's like, Ozzy says he's good enough to play. You were listening to the game, or you were?
Yeah, I was at home listening to the game.
And he drives to the school because that's where we dressed. We didn't have the locker room we do now.
Right.
And he gets dressed and he comes down the ramp by himself. And I just out of the corner, I hear this growing roar, and it was like Willis Reed stepping out on the Madison Square
with
Garden.
His bad knee.
Yeah,
just
and
gimping out there.
And he comes, and he has a game and a half. He has an interception for a touchdown. He runs for two touchdowns. We almost make the comeback, and you come off. You reminded me like Earl Campbell. You get tackled, and I was like, oh, he's down. He is done for the night. And you would just drag yourself back. Oh, let me give you the ball, and you would. And that is my absolute high school memory. Now,
what year was this, do you think?
2010, wasn't it?
2010, yeah.
Against who?
Assumption.
And so the other one is, it's a hidden one, is your first year at Central and how you flipped all those guys on the team. You were just, because if you guys do not know who Josh Osborne is, he has a very dry sense of humor. a lot of people. And so you guys were walking back, and I got this story secondhand from the guys. You were walking back, and something happened, and they cracked it, and he said, well, I just don't think I'm going to play again. I quit. And the head coach, Jeff McMartin, actually called me and goes, hey, Josh is thinking about – It was just a total joy, and he has that face on that he has on right now. So those are the things that I like. So my last one for you, just to get out and I'll get out of the way here for you. Josh Osborne at Central College is fourth in yards with 3,173. He is fifth in attempts with 617. He is eighth in touchdowns with 29. They're pretty good career records at a very strong Division III school.
And I wasn't ignoring you. But there's an upset alert I got to tell you about in just a couple of minutes. Josh, it's been our pleasure. Thanks for coming up, man.
Thank you,
come
guys.
Come up anytime.
Always bring a tear in my eye, man. You always give me a tear in my eye.
Assistant Coach Josh Osborne on the post-game show as we're going to take a final break. And when we come back, we'll have to give you tonight's Impact Play of the Game, sponsored by Tim Lundgren's Farm Bureau Financial Services, and tonight's Impact Player of the Game, brought to you by Dr. Kirk Masner, Family Dentistry, back in 2 minutes on KBUR.
Your child got hurt in the last game, and you're worried. Is it just a bruise or something more serious? Find out at the Saturday Morning Sports Medicine Clinic at Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center Orthopedics. No appointments, just answers. Orthopedic providers evaluate injured athletes who must be accompanied by a parent. Athletic trainers discuss follow-up care. Bring your insurance card to the Saturday Morning Sports Medicine Clinic at Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center Orthopedics in West Burlington. 8 till 9 every week during the fall sports season.
Does your insurance agent treat you like family?
Insurance Corporation is programmed to build interpersonal relationships with members of family units. We communicate on a forename basis with all customer numbers.
Only a human who knows you can create a plan that's right for you. That's why for 80 years at Farm Bureau Financial Services, we've built relationships first and plans second. It's your future. Let's protect it.
Call me, Tim Lundgren, your local Farm Bureau agent at 319-209-2020.
Worried your car won't make it through the harsh Iowa winter? Or maybe it's time to upgrade your loved one's vehicle to give them a very special holiday season to remember. Either way, talk to me. I'm Brady, your consumer loan officer at the Danville State Savings Bank. With your good credit, I can get you approved for the car you'll need. No matter if it's a gift for you or a gift for others, when you're ready, so are we. Offices in Danville, New London, and online at danvillebank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Dr. Kurt Masner salutes the Burlington High School Greyhound football team for all their hard work and dedication during the season. Dr. Masner applauds the players, coaches, and parents for their commitment to the community both on and off the field. It's his own commitment to excellence that has guided Dr. Masner in treating dental patients in the Burlington area since 1986. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Kurt Masner, 319-752-5494.
Back here on the Orthopedics Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center postgame show, we've got some loose ends to tie up. First and foremost, we've got to get to tonight's Farm Bureau Financial Services, Tim Lundgren's office, of which I am a part. Tonight's impact play of the game. John Flaherty, as always, you go first.
I am going to say, I'm trying to get the humor out and get back into
Trey Maxwell's 8-yard touchdown run.
I'm going to say Bryant Williams' first big knockoff run. I think that was the 3-yard run he had when he ran for like 25 yards and ran for 3. I think that was kind of like, oh man, this is going to be a long night, and things just wheeled back from there.
So in a 56-3 ball game, I don't know that you can necessarily pinpoint a play, but I'm going to say opening drive, Mount Pleasant has driven down inside the 5, and Burlington has to bow up a little bit defensively. It's, what, 3rd down and goal from the 2. They've already eaten over 7 minutes off the clock.
Yep.
And the longer you let a team that's an underdog stay in a ball game, the longer they think they can win. So who knows where this game goes.
Right.
If they give up 7, but the defense bows up, they drop the Mount Pleasant ball carrier. I believe it was Higgins for a loss, back to the 5, and all of a sudden it's 4th and goal, and really you're out of any range to try and score a touchdown, so they settle for 3. Instead of getting a 7 there, you force Mount Pleasant to get a 3, and from there Burlington just started rolling. They take it down the other way, score on their first drive. They score on 6 different drives overall. Just a tremendously dominant performance by the Greyhounds.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you. I think that either play is a really good play because it really did come out as a victory for the Greyhounds. It's like, okay, they got all the way that close. We said no more. And from there it was like, all right, it's time for us to assert ourselves. So you're right.
So who is your Dr. Kirk Masner family dentistry player of the game?
You know me, I try to want to spread things around and why I really kind of wink at Bryant Williams, but my wink is really at Kanye Baker. 75-yard touchdown pass, some very strong runs, commanded the offense well, and has improved every single game. I mean, Bryant is going to be, as a young man who clips off these yards every week when everybody knows he's going to get the ball and still do some miraculous things, he's there. But when I look at Kanye and a young man who wasn't a quarterback to begin with in his interscholastic days. He was a wide receiver, and they slid him inside. Has really developed into a very fine athlete, and I would hate to have him not think that he couldn't compete somewhere at the next level.
Well, Bryant Williams tonight, it goes without saying, 3 touchdowns. He holds 3 new records in school history for points scored in a season, rushing touchdowns scored in a season, and total touchdowns scored in a season. He holds all those records now in just 7 games. Like I said, who knows, with 2 regular season games left, and cross your fingers, 1 postseason at least game remaining, how far north of this current mark he can push those records.
Now, my third pick is Trey.
Trey Maxwell. I'm going to go with Nolan Simpson, and I'm not going to go for the conventional lists of reasons. I'm going to say seeing him healthy and out there gaining significant yardage. Remember, early on in the third quarter, he got rolled up on, and you're thinking to yourself, my goodness, his leg, you know, he took him down, and the defender held on a little long to his ankle. But then about a quarter later, he decides to go 36 yards down the near sideline, showing that he's healthy. And on defense, just his presence playing downhill, the suplex notwithstanding, that's still a play where a running back with no penalty remembers that he just got thrown on his backside. So, Simpson brings another dimension on both sides of the football to this team, and seeing him closer to 100% than he has been the last 2 to 3 weeks is very important. So I will make him the Dr. Kirk Masner Family Dentistry Player of the Game. And that'll do it for tonight for Melanie Miller Senior Family Field at Bracewell Stadium. Did you have something you wanted to say?
Well, we didn't get Ozzy. I know we got to close out, but we didn't get Ozzy's Assumption game. And we didn't get upset in the making.
All right, so here's the thing.
I'm kidding. Get to the close.
I don't think it was Assumption from 2010 because you lost 28-13. And Ozzie,
I think he scored the 13 points.
But Ozzie in that game had just 3 carries for 21 yards and a touchdown.
I'm going back through the video.
He had 1 catch for 15 yards.
I'm going back for video then.
I don't think it was that game unless it was 2009.
It might have been.
Was it 2009 where the score was 38-15? I just don't.
I'll look.
Yeah, you
know. I don't remember the games. I remember the meals. I remember the guys I grew up with.
You don't remember the scores or even the opponents. You just remember. The upset is we don't have a more recent score, but I got a text from this is a new phone who dis moment because I don't know who sent it to me. Not in my contacts, but it came from somebody who showed me a screenshot. Halftime at Fort Madison, it was Liberty 21. Fort Madison 13, and boy, oh boy, wouldn't that throw this district race into a tizzy if now you'd have 3 teams with 1 loss. North Scott ended up expanding on its league. They led 34-10 in the fourth quarter, so we assume they won quite handily. The other upset was a game we don't particularly care about, but number 1 in Class 5A lost. Iowa City High fell tonight to Pleasant Valley by the score of 31-14, so an upset right there. If you have a final score in the next 2 minutes for that Fort Madison score, we'll take it. Of course, the Greyhounds go on the road next week to take on Iowa City Liberty before ending their season here at home in 2 weeks against Fort Madison. So 2 big ones remain for the Greyhounds. But credit where credit's due. For the first time since 2008, this team will have a winning record. 5 wins guarantees that.
Summer has stuck around a little longer than we thought.
I shouldn't say that, actually. But they won't make the playoffs if they're 5-4. If they're 5-4, they won't make the playoffs. So there's no chance they're going to go 5-5. They will finish the season with a winning record for the first time in 13 years. So that is something to be proud of. As always, John Flaherty, great time tonight. I can't wait till next week. We hit Iowa City Liberty for the first time in school history.
Got to find out what snacks are around that place.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Got to find out what convenience stores are that we could stop at afterwards.
That's what we do because that's how we keep our bodies the way they are.
Firm, fit, and flabby.
Dad bods.
Want to say thank you to Kara back in the studio. Do you care if I say your last name? Because they didn't know. Usually I say full name so people can get full credit.
Oh, I don't care.
All right, Kara Ewinger. She was a newbie on the board tonight, did a great job once she got set up and got going. So my thanks to Kara Ewinger. As I say to all the board ops back in the studio, thanks for making us sound so much better than we truly are. I want to say thank you to all of you out there in listening land who listen to us each and every Friday night. We do get a lot of feedback from a lot of you. I can't tell you how much we appreciate that. it's fun to hear from you because not only do we know people are listening, but people are enjoying it, and even sometimes, like Adam Fawcett, becoming just a little too much a part of the broadcast.
And next week we'll have some paint drying so that we can make that sound
right.
Exciting.
And Alex needs to stop making big plays because I'm tired of hearing from your dad. Okay. Tonight's sponsors, as always, Standard of Beaverdale, Ryan Schmitz Flooring America, Danville State Savings Bank, Bob Dodds Insurance, Pizza Ranch, Courtesy Door, Pilot Grove Savings Bank, Ritter's Landscaping Home Garden Center, Queso's Mexican Bar and Grill, Tim Lundgren's Farm Bureau Financial Services, Diamond Vogel Paint, Case Vine Community Credit Union, Matt Rinker State Farm, Orthopedics, Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center, and Kirk Masner Family Dentistry. Say thank you to all of you sponsors who help us bring you Burlington football here on KBUR. Finally, the best thank you, just keep a cap on it for a minute, bud, okay? I want to say thank you to my wife, Kelly, my daughter, Aubrey, and my son, Ian, who's here with me, and his buddy, Jack. We are we're headed to Iowa City tomorrow to watch some Iowa football. Of course, tomorrow, 3 o'clock, is the kickoff. Pregame show at 1 o'clock with Dolph and Eddie and all the boys, who will get you ready for that number 3 Iowa against number 4 Penn State football game kicking off at Kinnick Stadium. I want to say thank you to my family who let me do this each and every Friday night. Can't tell you how much I appreciate it. You always say yes each and every season, and I have a ton of fun, especially this year, when the Greyhounds improved to 5-2 with a 56-3 win over Mount Pleasant. Until John and I join you again next weekend, next Friday night from Iowa City Liberty, the Greyhounds take on the
Lightning.
For the first time,
Lightning.
Okay. In school history, trying to get to 6-2 and 3-1 in the district. That's 7 days from now. So until then, have a great week. And as always, we say,
go Greyhounds.
Burlington High School football on News Radio 99.3 and 14.